Hey, everybody, it's Brittany Furlan from Worst First Podcast. Can you just take a minute and pause this podcast and go into your iTunes and subscribe to Worst First? I promise you will not regret it. Worst First is a podcast where I interview all kinds of people, from comedians, actors, celebrities, rappers, about their first worst experiences, whether it be a drug trip, bad job experience, a bad date, etc., etc. The stories are crazy. I guarantee you'll laugh. And we have lots of guests ranging from Machine Gun Kelly to people who've been on SNL, George Lopez. It's really fun over here. So do yourself a favor, subscribe to Worst First and come feel better about your own life. See you then.
One thing we have to keep in mind is that, and we talked about it on the show,
but at the same time, it comes from two different points.
Then all of a sudden, you want to say, oh.
Well, you know, that's funny for me. I don't know if I can speak for everybody else.
This is Dead in Sports.
This is the place where sports opinions collide. Dead in Sports. I'm your host, Kenneth B. Inge. Joining me, as usual, is FIFO 24/7.
Thank you for saying that 24/7.
And Nikki Doucet from the No Disrespect Podcast.
Yeah, since being here, I'm a finisher. Wow, 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 wow.
We appreciate you guys joining us this week for another podcast. We did the NBA preview earlier this week, so thank you guys for checking that out. But we didn't want to leave you guys hanging without our recap of the other news that took place, like the MLB playoffs and, of course, football. So, yeah, that's it. Where you want to start?
We can start with MLB.
All
man,
right.
that Astros Yankees, it wasn't until, because I was watching, because I'm still catching up on season two of Succession on HBO. Mm-hmm. So I was in the middle of watching that, and then y'all was in the chat talking about, some man, this game is crazy. So yeah, then I turned it on. I think I started at the top of the seventh. And even then, there was still a lot of shit going that happened and transpired. Like, that was probably the best defensive, you know, stand in between two great teams
mm-hmm.
that I've seen in a while. As far as the playoffs.
Yeah, I think I came on right when Will Harris came in. It was two outs, and I think it was probably bottom of the sixth or something like that. And he came in, and I think he got the force out at first or something like that. But so I think they had runners on second and first, and he got the force out off one pitch. And then, then I watched it from there. But, like, when I saw the score, I was immediately hooked because – with the Yankees offense, I mean, we saw what happened in the ninth. Like,
yeah.
It don't take much.
Uh-huh.
Like, they got way too much firepower, and they could strike at any time, and it could be anybody in that lineup. So I knew it was going to be, like, with this being a bullpen game, could that bullpen hold up? Because their bullpen isn't as great as the Yankees. But as we saw, they until Osuna came on, they get the job done. So that was the intrigue for me. Like, can they hold – at the time, this one-run lead.
And they were there. They were knocking on the door, like, all we got to do is – because it was two outs. It was two
mm-hmm.
outs. They were like, we just got to strike Cuz out, and then we can go into extra innings, and we at bat.
Yeah, yeah.
And Chapman fucked it up. I was ready to toot my horn about Chapman, too, because he come from – he had his breakout year with the Reds. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I've been following him for
yeah.
a while, and – he just laid an egg for real.
I've seen him do that in the playoffs before. He's not nowhere. He's not Mariano Rivera.
He's just because he got that fastball. That's all
yeah,
it is.
But he's very, very good. But when Mariano Rivera came on.
Mariano.
When he came on, it was a wrap. You were not scoring. It was a wrap. That was game.
Mm-hmm.
That was the game.
Definition of the closer.
Yep. I mean.
And you could tell they missed somebody like. And.
Yeah.
They really needed somebody like that, too.
But I think before it even got to that point, like, that play Brantley made to double up Judge, and you can't blame Judge because he had to, because it looked like it was going to drop. I mean, Brantley's not a great defensive player.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to – he probably should have went halfway.
They was coming at Judge. They was, like, fucking with Judge, though. Like, they – I felt like they – knew something because they kept on attacking his area and all that shit, and he was bound to fuck up, which he did, and he gave up a base because he had an error and shit. But I don't know. I've Judge had a hot coming into the league. He was hot, and then now I've been looking at him like, yeah, we need to start taping our expectations for him.
Well, he's a one trick pony. Like, he can hit for decent average, but you know what he is. He's a strikeout guy. I mean, he's a power hitter. And that's what he does. And, you know, he's a liability defensively, which
it's crazy because he built like a tight end. You would think he could move around and get to have an advantage like that, but
yep. But yeah, so and he made a great defensive play and it saved a run.
He did, and then he fucked up right after that.
Where were you talking? You're talking about when he struck out?
No. I'm talking about when they was on defense. And remember he caught the out to make it. I think it was two outs at that point. It was before they got at bat and they tied up the game.
It was one where he ran in and then he misread the ball.
Yes, that's the one. Yeah, that's the one.
And then he go back, but he did catch that one though. And then there was another hit that went to kind of in between center field and right field, and he fumbled that, but mm-hmm. because he's so big. He was able to corral the ball, and he stopped the run. He kept the runners on third and first, and which saved the run, which gave them within striking distance.
Yeah.
LeMahieu came in. And then there was another double play that came before that. Oh, yeah, when Altuve, I think, was threw the ball backwards. And
They were just on it. They were like, that whole team is in sync. You got – whenever the Astros is in the playoffs, like, you just got to watch out for them. They just – and you know, they just get in. They just click.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, if baseball could be like that all the time,
but it can't
because it's never
it's too many games, and it's just there's not enough pressure. That's why I say the only time I really care about baseball is in October. That's the best time to watch it.
There's more on the line.
So, do you think that for baseball they should shorten the season and expand the postseason? Have more teams?
They're
more
talking
runs?
About shortening the games. I think.
What do you mean shortening?
I think by like 30 games. I think that's what I saw. But
it should be more because they play 181 games.
Mm-hmm. It's something like that.
That's way too much. I think you could cut it down to about 120. Honestly, about 100.
Realistically. I was gonna say 100. Like, you don't need all these games to realize who's good and who's not. Exactly. That's what it really is. Like,
exactly. And I think that if you expand the postseason, I think you make more money because mm-hmm. the postseason is. There's more finality to it, right? Like, it's almost like exclusivity.
And I like how they keep it. Like, the wild cards is out of five, and then, you know, everything else mm-hmm. when you get to more, you know, the high-pressure series, make it seven.
Week six or seven in the NFL?
Seven,
okay. Yep. But, yeah, so I with you, I know that's been something that they've been talking about for a while. They just haven't done it yet. But it is one of the complaints that people have is that they say the games are just – it's just way too long. But yeah, and then we go to the ninth, and Osuda come in. He get the guy, I think, Torres.
Who was before him? Before the guy who hit the home run to win the game.
Springer, George Springer.
That's where they fucked up. They had a chance to take this to basically end their run.
Chapman
let him walk. Yeah, like, if he didn't let him walk, that was – because I knew, I was like, bro, if they let this guy in right behind him, it's a wrap.
Well,
I knew he was going to get a home run somehow, some way.
It felt like that, and I don't know why. I mean, okay, so there's a couple of thoughts. Hold that real quick. Let's see. Yeah, Asuna can't wait. Let's see. Where are we at? Yeah, Asuna came in. The guy, the shortstop or the second baseman, he was like 4-for-4. That was the first threat. And then, because we got to get to the tie. And then, and I thought he was going to, I think he had two outs. And he threw that high fastball, and he missed. And I was thinking, with the guy on first, keep the ball low, try to induce a ground ball. And if he hit it, worst case is going to go to the outfield. At least it won't leave the park.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave up that time run. And I saw it, man. Like, I, when he first came in, I saw him take a deep-ass breath. I'm like, oh, shit, he in trouble. But anyway, so, yeah, they tied the game. And I was like, man. And then I saw Chapman was on. I'm like, damn. Like,
This could go either way.
But I think he's fucked up before in the playoffs.
Because he don't have no – he's not good at – he don't have a lot of in his bag. Like, he as far as, like, being great, like, great pitching. He's not an overall great pitcher. I think he's a specialty pitcher.
Because I think he used to do it when he was with the Cubs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when he was with the Cubs. So he'll mess up. Plus, I think the other big factor is that he played. He was pitching on third day. I think it's his third day, or maybe game seven was going to be the third straight day. So they were tired. And when I looked at, I went back and I just did a recap that night. And Aaron Boone. I think he's the manager, but he kept using he used the bullpen in every single game. Mm-hmm. And I think he messed up when he brought the bullpen in with James Paxton. I guess he was struggling, but he pitched like 2.1 innings, and then he went to the bullpen. So they were worn out. So now you're in a situation where you have to rely on them. It's a bullpen game just to get to game seven. You tie the game. You got your closer on, and he get the first out. Then he walked George Springer, and Altuve's up. You have a open base. Now the thought is you don't ever put a runner in scoring position. But when you got Mariznick up, who do you want to pitch to? Altuve or Mariznick, who's probably haven't really seen your fastball like that?
Mm-hmm.
I would probably take my chances. One way or the other, you're going to get criticized, right? You're going to get criticized for pitching Altuve, which he did. He threw the slider. He missed with the first two fastballs, and then he threw the slider. And that shit was nasty. Like, it dropped right in there. And he came back with the slider. Altuve said he was looking for the fastball, but he ended up hitting the slider because he has to start early because I think he threw like 99.
Yeah.
So you have to get like a head start on it. But when the slider came, it was just perfect contact, and that was it. And but Altuve was just waiting for the right pitch, and he threw that down. He threw the slider again, and next thing you know, yeah, Chapman's smiling.
Man. Nah, it's that one smile when you salty as hell. You like, I just fucked up.
Yeah.
I fucked up everything.
You kind of got to laugh. You're like, I can't believe this shit. That's one of those, man, I can't believe this shit just happened. Sliders. I mean,
like, we that close. Like, two outs. We can go into extra innings. We can make it a game seven. It's like everything is going your way. You just tied the game up. Like,
Asuna going back out there. You're going to the weak part of the lineup because I didn't like what A.J. Hinch did with his defensive substitutions, taking Brantley out. You needed his bat in case he got tied. And taking Jordan Alvarez out when the bases was loaded for Alvides Diaz. I'm like, I know he's hit a couple of grand slams, but baseball is such a weird sport in the playoffs where a guy could be one for 20-something, and you put him in a moment, he just make contact. Single, pass ball, error, whatever, home run, grand slam, you just never know. And we saw that with Gurriel. He was like one for something, and he hit the three-run home run in the first inning. So, but when the game was tied, now your lineup is weak. So, but it was – let me ask you this. You a Yankees fan?
Nah. Oh, I just wanted to see if they can keep up with that track record. Like I think I mentioned earlier on a past podcast as far as them being in the World Series or winning the World Series in almost every decade. Like,
oh,
I was. That's what I was. Yeah, I was looking at, can they actually do it again to see if, like, wow, this is probably the greatest sports franchise ever. You know what I mean?
It probably still is in baseball.
I think it's probably in sports history. 27 titles? Come on.
I mean, you know, it's debatable.
You are. You just hate.
I don't like the Yankees.
You just hating.
I felt bad for Kyle, man. You know, he
Kyle was sick, man. I almost called him. I had to check on him. He wasn't even sick.
I know he was because
they be teasing him. They tease him every year.
You go from like the highest of the high that because you think, oh man, we got it. You think when they hit that home run, it's like, oh yeah, we're gonna steal this. We're gonna win. It's destiny. Only for that to happen, and you're like, God damn. So now I kind of like the history on the other side though. The fact that they haven't won a World Series in this decade.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think that's kind of dope. Like, when they do that docuseries about the 2010s, that'll be a storyline.
Yeah.
You know, so. But yeah, so now they're up against the Washington Nationals, who are hot, and wild card teams. When they get hot like that in the playoffs.
Watch out.
In baseball. And they can match them pitching for pitching. The Yankees couldn't really match them. They had decent pitching, but they can match the three-headed monster that they got. And then they can go, no, I think, is it four or is it three? Verlander, Greinke, Gerrit Cole, and then, I think they go with Peacock or I can't even say it, Arcueta. But they got Scherzer, Strasburg. They could probably go Sanchez and some other dudes. So pitching for pitching, I think they'll be even.
So you expect a defensive World Series? That's what I think.
For the first two
whoever
games,
make the least mistakes.
Yeah, for the first two games, clutch hitting. I think it's going to all be about clutch hitting and moments. Because, you know, that series could have went against the Astros in a couple of different ways. If Correa and Springer don't hit those home runs, or if Correa don't hit that home run to even the series, and you got to go back to Yankee Stadium and play three in a row, not looking good for you. But but I got the Astros winning the World Series. Although I have a sneaky suspicion the Nationals' first World Series in history, it feels like they're destined. But I think when Manny, shout out to Manny, Any Given Sunday podcast, drops every Sunday on the Dead End Podcast Network, lost my connection. But we still live. What did he say? I forgot what I was about to say. Oh, yeah. He called him the Golden State Warriors of baseball. Yeah, so and he called Curry, Altuve Curry. Curry, we know he don't hit clutch shots when they need him the most, so Curry would have struck out. But maybe that's KD.
Probably. But you know what's interesting, bringing it back to basketball? That GM survey, they asked, like, who would you want with the ball in the last second?
Are you going off that what Calher was saying this shit, too?
They picked Steph Curry. Like, I'm so against that.
Yeah, me too. I don't know why.
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But I just want to throw that in there.
That is interesting.
Yeah, yeah. All the GMs said like 3 seconds or less, 5 seconds or less in a game. Who do you want with the ball? That like they pick Steph.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, that's it for baseball, man.
All right, week 7 recaps. While we was doing our NBA preview, we was missing some good ass football. I know Ken, you was hurt because of the fantasy shit, but but yeah, I was like, when I after we recorded, I was looking at my mentions. I was like, damn, y'all ain't talking about football. All this crazy shit happening. But obviously, we got to start off with the first thing. I think it's the biggest news of the week. Pretty much is Patrick Mahomes and his injury and how that affects the Chiefs, who are potential Super Bowl contenders or winners for this season. My question to y'all is, can the Chiefs live without Patty Mahomes for these upcoming weeks, even though they're saying he could be back probably by next week?
Hell no. They're very Patrick Mahomes dependent. You know what I'm saying? And it's one of those things. Like me and my boys, we always talked about how in sports, when you're too unique of a player, and they kind of build around you. Mm-hmm. If something happens to you, how do we replace you? How do we continue to move on without you, right? Because that O-line isn't horrible, but it ain't good.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's very mediocre. Pat Mahomes makes it work because he got the feet, right? He has the IQ, and then he has the arm. So a lot of their players have been hurt, Ding not in the lineup, not playing up to expectation, and they still are a threat because of Patty Mahomes, right? He's the engine that makes all of that work. And then look at the defensive side of it, right? Them boys is, I don't want to call them the T word, but they damn near trash. You know what I'm saying?
What show is this?
I'm about to say, you've been biting your tongue a little bit too.
I have been. But nah, man, it's like that defense, first of all, they can't put, they're not great at anything. Right, especially in that secondary.
At least last year they were good on third down.
They were exactly. Yeah. They had an identity. They still don't even have an identity yet. So I just, without Mahomes, man, it's a wrap. Like
even with Andy Reid.
Yeah, I think even with Andy Reid, because he still don't even have all his horses there. You know what I'm saying?
Too many injuries. Mixed with bad defense.
Exactly, and then, you know, me and you, we was talking about how like they talking about Pat Mahomes might come back. Like
they saying it's a stretch.
Yeah, but look, man, that's 3 to 6 weeks, bro. That has to, bro, dislocated kneecap.
He was walking. I saw him walk.
What do you mean? Klay Thompson walked with a torn ACL. Rondo, when he tore his ACL here in Atlanta when he was still playing for Boston, he walked off the court. He said he didn't even feel that.
Yeah, but I mean, but those are ACL. This is a knee. All you got to do, because there's a Chiefs member who has his medical license. I forgot his name. And he was saying, like, the best case scenario for a dislocated kneecap is you got to get it in as quick as possible, which they did. So
yeah, but what that mean, though? Like,
Saquon come back from a high ankle sprain in 3 weeks.
Yeah, but a high ankle sprain, a dislocated kneecap.
I'm just saying these are things. The injury timelines have gotten shorter with medicine.
No, they have. But at the end of the day, like, the value of Patrick Mahomes is too high to risk.
But you're thinking about 5-10 year franchise quarterback, right? They trying to win a chip now.
No, I feel you. I'm thinking year 2-3. Like, I'm not even thinking 5-6 years down the road. I'm thinking about next year, year after. Because look, when you have a guy like Patrick Mahomes, right, your championship window is big because he's going to play 15 years. You know, barring injury, obviously. Yeah.
You don't want to see RG3.
You don't want to see RG3. You don't want to see Andrew Luck. You don't want to see those type of scenarios, mm-hmm. right? But look at Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers arguably had the best. For all the stuff that we talk about Aaron Rodgers, he just literally had the best game of his life. Just. How many years in? You don't lose that much going that far deep. So to me, man, it is about long-term. You know what I'm saying? Longevity with Patrick Mahomes. He's a franchise. He's doing stuff we ain't never seen. Why put him in harm's way? Because we saw, what was it, like a year or two ago where Aaron Rodgers got hurt?
Yeah.
And he looked like a shell of himself. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we get it. You know, he's on the field and it gives you the better chance to win. But we don't know if that took off a year or two off the end of his career.
He's compromised at that point.
You know what I'm saying?
Because of the injury.
And we're talking, like, this ain't basketball where, you know, you can go hard, but, you know, kind of pull back. Nah, man, like, this is, like, they coming hard at you.
Yeah, I would say they coming hard at you. It ain't really about you.
You know what I'm saying? So nah, man, I couldn't see myself putting Patrick Mahomes, a franchise QB, like, the most uniquely gifted and talented quarterback we've ever seen. I'll say that.
I mean, we still got Aaron Rodgers in the league. So you saying ever, even with A-Rod?
Yeah, man, because, you know what, look, Aaron Rodgers. And remember 2 years ago when we first saw Pat Mahomes and all this and all that, and I said I wanted to reserve, you know, saying that only A-Rod can make these type throws. A-Rod can't make Patrick Mahomes throws, dog.
Mm. I'm not going that far.
Mm.
You see Aaron Rodgers making no look? Come on, man. We done seen
just
stuff.
Just because he has it doesn't mean he can't.
That's what I'm saying. Like, why would he need to? That's just the sauce. Like, he's just shit-talking when he doing that shit. Like. That's not really a thing that you need to have. That's not a thing that GMs look at like, oh, can he do it with Pat?
No.
You know what I'm saying?
But we're comparing the elite of the elite.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, Aaron Rodgers can make any throw that Patrick Mahomes can make. I believe that.
No. I feel you, right? But it's
because
just,
you haven't seen it?
No. It's not even that. It's just that Mahomes just has a little extra on Rodgers. On everything that Rodgers could do, Mahomes got a little extra. Little extra wheels, little extra arm, little extra touch.
I think Rodgers will. I saw Patty run. Patty, he ain't as fast as Aaron Rodgers. I don't think so.
You saying Pat Mahomes is slower than A-Rod? You tripping.
Maybe not. Maybe now he may, tripping. But I'm just saying, like, Aaron Rodgers, like, prime Aaron Rodgers, he got some wheels on him. He's an underrated athlete.
I'm not saying he – did I say he did it? I didn't say he did it. I just said Patty Mahomes got a little bit more. On everything.
So what do you think? I mean, you talked about their defense. Their defense mm-hmm. showed up for Denver, right? Mm-hmm. It was Joe Flacco, but they put him on his ass a lot. Do you think the defense, because I was listening to First Things First, and they were talking about as far as the defense, like you were mentioning, or the team relies on Patty Mahomes so much because they're like, oh, it don't really matter. He going to throw 30 points on the board regardless. But now that since they don't have that, they got Matt Moore. They have to step their game up because they don't even know who if they can even
who gonna step their game up.
I mean, you got Frank Clark, you got Tyrann Mathieu, you got some names. It's not like they got scrubs.
But what have they done?
I'm saying it got to start somewhere. Then we still halfway through. There's a lot of football left.
Nah, but you know what? Look, what do I always say? Give me about 3 to 5 weeks to figure out. You know what I'm saying? What teams are in the NFL. We've kind of figured what they are. Like, they're just not going to flip a switch and be, like, even a mediocre defense.
I'll just say, because of the defense coordinator, Steve Spagnuolo, he came from the New York Giants. And he's pretty much, I think he was there every championship of the Eli Manning era as far as that defense. So, and with his schemes and all that, I think it takes time to get used to. And this could be the point in time in the season where the defense is like, okay, they are gelling now and it's something's working. Now, as far as their upcoming the teams that they play, which I'm going to bring up now, I don't know. I think that at best case scenario, I think the reason why they are pushing for Patty Mahomes to come back soon is because they know they got to face some boys. They got the Packers this upcoming week. They got the Vikings. These are both home games, but they got the Packers, the Vikings. Then they're on the road for the next two games against the Titans and the Chargers. The Chargers game is obviously a divisional game, but I'm not even going to worry about that. Titans got a good defense. Vikings got a good defense. And the Packers are playing out. They're probably the best team in the league between them and the Saints. So as far as trying to get that number two seed or possible number one seed, so they don't have to, you know, go on the road and all like that, they may need to expedite his health list.
The Kansas City Chiefs defense is fourth in total defense, fourth worst.
I get that, but you got to have a spark
somewhere.
How
many weeks, Ken, are we in?
Seven.
So wait. So you telling me they're gonna get to 16?
I'm not saying that.
From what is that? 28 to 6? Come on,
they better than last year.
They are, but with no Mahomes.
I'm just saying though, right now, this is an interesting point in time of their season to see what this team can really do and who can really step up. Because Patty Mahomes, like you said, he's been doing everything. They don't have no run game. Their offensive line. The reason why he got hurt is because they couldn't get it on second and one, third and one, and they had to go a QB sneak on fourth and one. So this team has to get galvanized and energized somehow, some way.
But it ain't gonna be through a Patrick Mahomes injury. That's just not what's going
to happen. So then they gonna go on a 4-game skid?
Pretty much.
Then they pretty much barely making the playoffs. If not,
that's what
definitely not getting round bye.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
That's why they saying that bring this nigga back as soon as possible.
You can't, though. You can't. It's a double-edged sword, and I get it. And I guess where I'm coming from is very idealistic. But you have to protect your asset first and foremost. And second of all, look, even if you don't make the playoffs this year or you're not a championship contender this year, as long as Mahomes is healthy, you will be. So play the long game. Don't play the short game. That's just my point. Because I put it to you like this. If that defense was just mediocre, ranked between 18 to 14 in the league, right, you had some more other offensive weapons that were completely healthy right now, put Pat Mahomes in 2 weeks.
I think their biggest Achilles heel is the run game. The fact that they don't have one with three backs. Like, especially with, like, I know LeSean McGoy's long in the tooth, but the fact that you can't.
But you proving my point. So
no, I'm saying if they fix that part, that'll help the defense.
Nah, man, come on.
A good run game helps the defense.
Okay, so they're gonna go from fourth worst to fifth worst. Okay, like Nick, it's not a significant jump. Is my
point. So the season's done. That's what you're saying.
Basically, yeah.
I don't know, Ken. What you think?
Because they're too Mahomes dependent.
I think they'll make it. I think they can survive.
So in this next four games, what do they do?
I think they can go 500.
2-2.
Yeah, I think they can go 2-2.
So you know the next two teams that they play, right?
Who?
They play, I know
they
one
play
of
the
them.
Is the Packers is this
and Vikings.
Yeah.
Okay, that's one
good,
loss.
The only good loss,
that's two, bro. No. You seen Kirk Cousins? The last 2-3 weeks? I'm just saying, come on, man. He Tony Romo.
Romo. The only He's benefit right the only benefit the Chiefs have is that they both are home games. And then they go on the road for their easy games. But they're on the road.
What does that mean when you got no run game, as you just exquisitely pointed out? I just pointed out that their defense isn't obviously they don't have nothing. Without Mahomes, think about it. Without Mahomes, they don't have nothing.
That's why they bringing them back.
Nah, but you can't because of that. You can't because of that.
So they damn if they do, damn if they don't.
100%. And you might as well not. Because you're damaging or potentially damaging, arguably, right? He's on the trajectory to be the best quarterback, skillfully, right? Tom Brady got the rings.
Yeah.
You know, you got to get rings too. But skillfully, he is on the trajectory to be the best quarterback to ever play this game. You have to protect that.
All right. I mean, so do they get a win next week against the Packers?
Nope. No. Green Bay
putting it all together, man. They putting it all together. Aaron Rodgers figuring it out. That defense is above the fray, right? Like what are they? They're like a top five defense right now.
Probably. I wouldn't be surprised there.
You know what I'm saying? Like, nah, man. They're not beating that.
Sticking to that game as far as that Chiefs game, that Thursday night, the Denver Broncos are
atrocious.
It looks like a dumpster fire franchise. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of them in the NFL this year, but they're the ones that are getting, you know, by and getting a pass for it. But does John Elway deserve to be on the hot seat? I say yes. And it's damn near 2 years overdue.
You think so? I think after this season, yes. I think after this season. Because here's the thing.
Because if you take out that Peyton Manning era, he is a – he made some good draft picks on the defensive end.
Uh-huh.
But he hasn't got a franchise QB.
But you act like they just grow on trees.
But every
but okay.
During his tenure, uh-huh. he hasn't got. Look at all these QBs that's coming out.
Not even first round picks. But like who?
Like
outside of Dak and saying, Russell.
Who else was there? All right, you put me on. You just named the two that I was going to mention.
Exactly, because those are really the only two that have become franchise quarterbacks weren't first-round picks, right? So, wait, hold on. Because when John Elway – let's talk a little context. You know that's the name of the game. When John Elway came to the Broncos, right, he inherited Tim Tebow,
mm-hmm.
right? He inherited Demaryius Thomas. He inherited all of that stuff. What did he do the first year? Got rid of Tim Tebow. Got Peyton Manning, right? They were championship contender for about 3 to 4 years, right? After Peyton Manning, who they go to? Case Keenum. They drafted Paxton Lynch. Who else they went with? And now they're we fast forward a little bit. Now they're on Joe Flacco. They've been right around a playoff team, even post Peyton Manning, right?
Not really.
But they've been right there, or if not, they're not drafting top five. But my point is that they're not drafting top five. They're not even drafting top 10.
But I mean, they did draft top five because they got Bradley Chubb. They could have got somebody in that draft. Like I'm saying, like there's been QBs even in later rounds. Like obviously Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson. You even got you can find a QB. I feel like you can people. These GMs, we got to put their feet to the fire, man.
Jaguars can't just get away. But just think about how many franchises haven't found one, right? How many there's more franchises that have not found a franchise QB than the ones that have. So it's not that it's not like, oh, yeah, we're going to get this guy now. Because even that, your boy Danny Dimes, right? Four touchdowns, seven interceptions, three turnovers in the last 2-3 weeks.
As a rookie, okay.
But my point is that we don't know what he's gonna be, right?
Exactly.
We don't know if he's a franchise QB. So that could have been very well Paxton Lynch. We don't know. John Elway has done, and here's the thing. I am giving him just a little bit of leeway. The man won a Super Bowl.
With arguably one of the greatest QBs of all time. That's not a big caveat.
End of the road.
Not when he got there. When he got there, he was breaking records.
But no, of course, right. When he got there, but when he got there, what was the first Super Bowl they played against?
That was with Seattle. Yeah.
And boy, that first hit on Demaryius set that whole tone. Because Peyton Manning played the hell of a game.
Mm-hmm.
Peyton Manning ain't lose that game. They were demoralized by that defense. Once Cam Chancellor hit Demaryius Thomas on that first play, bro, I watched it just recently, about a week ago. And I saw it. I said, oh, my God. Because I was watching a Cam Chancellor video on YouTube, like his whole highlights, and that was one of them.
Yeah.
But going back, man, look, John Elway does deserve some of the blame. And I'm not saying I'm absolving him of everything that has happened with the Denver Broncos. However, I am going to give him a little bit of leeway because he won. When you win – you get a little bit more rope. Tom Coughlin, he ain't get a whole bunch of rope with the Giants. A whole bunch. He should have been gone or at least moved to GM front office like what he's doing with Jacksonville. But look, even Jacksonville, have they drafted a franchise QB? We could go
team by team. They got Gardner Minshew.
We can go team by team. All I'm saying is this. They do need a quarterback, and I think that if this year doesn't pan out, you know, I definitely think they should trade Von Miller.
They
get you.
He's tired of that shit. He ready to go.
Yeah, he is.
He over it, bro.
Yeah, because look, man, you're talking about top three pass rushers in the league, right? Those type of guys need to be competing for playoffs and championships.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like he's young. It's not like he's like Bradley Chubb. Bradley Chubb can still endure that. We could build the defense around you. But Von Miller, he's won. He's done all of that. He's been a captain.
Super Bowl MVP.
Super Bowl MVP. Move on from him. Get two first-round picks, you know what I'm saying? Get however many picks you can get for them and rebuild your team. That's what John Elway needs to do. And that's why I say I give him this year. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, real quick for people watching, I don't know what's going on with the we're going now. I don't know what's going on with the internet. I done disconnected everything, but, yeah, that's just not working today. So I'm going to try one more time. Because
we should have did it on Tuesday. I was trying to mess up the schedule, man.
Yeah, but anyway. So what's next?
Going on to the, what was it, Miami Bills game. Do we need to take the Bills seriously?
No. But
Why not?
I just don't believe him yet.
Look, Ken, you got to believe that defense, bro. And defense travels. Look, you know they have a streak. I want to say it's 15 games in a row that they've held their opponents to under 400 total yards. Mm-mm. 15. You're talking about a whole season, bro. And we talking pass happy 300, 400 passing yard type games, you know what I'm saying, from these quarterbacks. And then for 15 straight games, we're talking about almost an entire season. Obviously dating back to last year, that this defense has been dominant. Not just good, dominant. And they're top three defense. So for that reason alone, they are for real. I'm not saying that they're going to go out there and, you know, outscore Green Bay or,
yeah,
you know.
Because the offense is what's holding
them
back.
Yeah, it's what's holding them back. But obviously, what is it, Josh Allen? Josh Rosen?
Yeah, Josh Allen.
Josh Allen. He's playing smart football. Right, like he doesn't have a whole bunch of turnovers. He's not lighting you up either, but he's allowing that team, the way that they're constructed, to be a formidable opponent. And you have to take them seriously. Again, I'm not saying that they're going to outscore Green Bay. And I know Green Bay plays in a cold climate, but you go up there to Buffalo, you know, obviously they're AFC, NFC. But what other AFC team?
If you're going to, I mean, you got Kansas City, you got Baltimore, you got
exactly like Kansas City. You know what I'm saying? And I know Pat Mahomes is great and all of that, but damn, bro, you think he's gonna be doing everything that Pat Mahomes could do in like negative 10 degree weather? I'm just saying that's just an added layer to, you know what I'm saying, to that defense, an advantage for that defense. So, Ken, you got to take them seriously. I'm not saying they're the greatest team in the AFC, but you have to. They're a serious contender.
Who they play, Nick? I don't know.
I'm gonna bring it up. The Bills have played. Damn, where are they? Oh, here it is. They've beaten the Jets. They've beaten the Giants. They've beaten the Bengals. They've beaten the Titans, and they just now beat the Dolphins. The only loss they got is to the Pats. And upcoming, they got this is where the hard part. Well, not really hard, but they got the Eagles, they got the Skins, they got the Browns and Dolphins as far as their next
Eagles,
four games.
Eagles, Skins, Browns, and yeah, that's not even that tough. So yeah. I mean, they based on that schedule and the way some of those teams are performing, I can see them being a playoff team with that defense. So that defense can elevate them into a winning record. But I think the buck stops there. So I don't know. I can't give them much credit based on that level of competition. The one good team they played, they got smashed.
Yeah, but I mean that's the Pats. They smashing everybody that they playing right now, and then they're not really playing anybody either.
You know what? I take that back. They didn't get smashed. They were actually in that game until Josh Allen got hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then it turned a little bit.
But that defense is for real.
That defense is for real, and I'm interested to see where they end up. I'm saying give me till week 10, week 11 to see where they're at. Because, I mean, if they keep winning the way they are, obviously they're riding that defense. That's a playoff team. That's a playoff team. And obviously they're not going to win the division, but they're going to be a wild card team.
It's a playoff team with that record. I mean, with that schedule.
Yeah.
You can only play who's in front of you, Ken.
Going on to Minnesota, you was talking about your boy Kirk Cousins. Has he proven himself this year?
Who? Tony Romo? Mm.
I mean, that's your boy.
I'm just saying, he's Tony Romo 2.0.
But you were talking about, like, so is he hot right now, or has he figured it out with Minnesota?
He's hot right now. Come on, man. He's just hot, man. He's hot and cold. Wait till the playoffs come. You're going to get three interception, Kirk. He might, you know what? Because I think they are going to make the playoffs, right? Because I think Chicago's out of it. And we could talk about that.
Yeah, we're going to get to Chicago.
I think that Minnesota makes it. And in that first playoff game, we're going to see Cole Kirk Cousins. We're going to see in the biggest moments when you need him to perform, he's going to give you 180 yards, three picks, and a touchdown, and probably a fumble. Like, it just is what
so
it
you're,
is.
So you're saying this is all this regular season shit is good, but that playoff is where we already know what's going
on. No, of course, because at this point, the way that team is constructed, right? Like, you put any quarterback that's above the fray in the league, they arguably have the most talented roster in the NFL right now. Arguably. Right, offense and defense, and what is the reason why they just aren't as dominant as they should be? It's Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is not a consistent football player. We seen him, what, the first 3 weeks of the season? He looked like complete trash. He got wide receivers calling him out, media calling him out, everybody calling him out. All right, cool, let me settle down, let me get high, let me flip the switch. All right, he might play good for the rest of the season. But I'm telling you, when that playoff game come, it's a wrap. He ain't going to do nothing. It's just like Georgia football teams, bro. It's a wrap for Kirk Cousins, bro. He's just hot right now. Don't believe it.
I'm not believing it, but it's – Dalvin Cook is what I'm really looking at.
Oh, wait. I thought you said he wasn't any good.
I'm about to walk that back. It was, but my main point was because of his health, this is his first year that he's really healthy, to be honest, and he's balling out, and you know, you got to give him kudos for that. But that the reason why I say Dalvin Cook is because that run game is their bread butter, and that's what's going to take them far, because that's what can take that ball out of Kirk Cousins so he don't fumble, he don't throw an interception, and as you can see, all the best teams in the league right now are running the ball. So if you just run Dalvin Cook and then let Kirk Cousins do a couple throws to keep things interesting, maybe that's the word to get to the promised land.
Nah, man, you've watched Tony Romo. This is his Tony Romo. Come on, man. Like history repeats itself.
But Tony Romo's best years has come with a good running back.
And how many playoff games they won with all
did
that?
Did they win any?
He ain't win one?
I don't think he did.
I don't think. Hey, that's Dallas. I ain't a Cowboy fan.
But what I'm saying is Kirk Cousins is in the same mold. I guarantee you. I think they have the best roster offensively and defensively, and they're not going to win a playoff game. And that's sad. Because even the coach, Mike Zimmer, amazing coach. They're not going to win Jack, bro. They're just not.
I wish B was here for this question because this is just for me asking y'all, but like looking at how Detroit is and like how they've been playing, and it seems like they're right there and they can't close out these games. But Matt Stafford, his numbers are looking great, as they always. Does Detroit need to – do they need to move on from Matt Stafford?
Yes.
Is that crazy for me to say that?
No.
To do what?
But here's the thing, though, right? Like, Detroit has made a lot of blunders during Matt Stafford's career. The biggest one was getting rid of Jim Caldwell. We talked about that a week ago or so, right? Because it's not that Matt Stafford can't play. Matt Stafford just isn't consistent enough to be a champion. And I think Caldwell brought that out in him. Turnovers were down.
But we saw that he's good enough to be a playoff team with the right coach.
100%. 100%.
Nagy may not be that guy.
Who?
Patricia.
Patricia may not be that guy.
He's kind of
Chicago, right?
Yeah.
I think Matt Patricia is a good coach. I just don't think that he needs a Peyton Manning. Matt Patricia does. Matt Stafford isn't that, right? Like, Matt Stafford is you know, he's a top 12 quarterback, top 13 quarterback by skill, not by statistics. And, you know, if we're
by production, he is.
By production, he is.
Because we know he has all of that, it would seem to me like, why get rid of that when you could just find the right coach?
I don't think Matt Patricia is a bad coach. I think he's kind of turned, especially that defense. Like, he's helped that defense out a lot, especially that secondary. For some reason, I just feel like Matt Stafford,
he needs a quarterback guru type head coach. He needs a Sean Payton.
Some of his plays are like empty calories. Right. It's like, yeah, you threw four touchdowns, but you lost by 12 points or more than a touchdown.
Here's the thing. They got a guy named Kerryon Johnson who had a great year last year running the ball. Don't look like he's really getting a chance to run the ball this year at all the way they did last year. And that helped Matt Stafford out a lot. These last couple of losses appear to be coaching losses to me. And – you know, when you got a guy that has the talent and they just can't get over the hump, you know, I would look at coaching. And they had a guy. They got rid of him. I'm going back to the blunders you pointed to. So now we want to blame Stafford for that?
He's just the only consistent thing. Like,
yeah, somebody got to go.
He's been the only consistent. Like, they've gone through all these coaches like you mentioned.
And what's next? And that's always my question when we talk about these things, like, what's next? He gives you a chance to win before you got him, you didn't even have that.
So again, I think that there's teams that would take on a Matt Stafford that would have a high draft pick. You know, so I think you could work it out.
Okay, but when we look at the organization, we really need B here so we can break it down. So let's revisit this next week. But what I've observed as from afar. We have a 10-year QB who's had a team that has terrible defenses since he's been there. He's had one good coach that got him to the playoffs since he's been there. Everybody else has been bad. They haven't been able to get the running position right since he's been there. And they finally got it right, and they don't run the ball. So these seems like organizational blunders, to use Raph's word. But we're putting it all on Stafford.
Because, again, I agree with Nick in this point. Matt Stafford has been the most consistent piece out of all of that. And if he's going to be a franchise QB, that means that he can pull that weight.
He hasn't been
able to pull that weight by himself.
He's not a franchise QB. So he needs dependent pieces in order to succeed.
But then if he ain't a franchise QB, then why are we putting so much stock into him?
Because he has talent enough and he needs the pieces around him to be able to win, a la
Matt Ryan.
Yeah. So you're basically saying if you can't be with the one you love, be with the one you're with.
Yeah, I mean, he's no Peyton Manning. He's no Tom Brady. He's no Russell Wilson. We know all of this. And he's no somebody else is getting it done right now without a lot of pieces around him to win. He's none of that. We've seen that. We have enough evidence to know that. But you give him the right pieces, he can get the job done.
Going on to the Raiders, does John Gruden deserve some credit for this season?
Hell no.
He got him to 500 without Khalil Mack, without Amari Cooper. Obviously, he made those trades. And with that AB fiasco, like he's got them in the second place of the AFC West.
It's not gonna.
And now that we talked about with Patty Mahomes and that injury, y'all talking about they could lose.
You gotta give him his props. Come on now,
they could win this division possibly.
By default, because
that is what it is.
Because Patrick Mahomes got hurt. We're gonna give him credit for that,
but at least he has his team in position because we didn't give him nothing. Nobody at this table gave him anything.
They got a breakout Hard Knocks player who's balling. By the way, shout out to Waller.
I don't want to shout him out.
That's your fault. You put him on the bench. I'm just saying you got him balling right now. What weapons do they got? What quarterback do they really got?
I feel like this is one of those. I feel like this is Danny Dimes all over again. I feel like this is Dak Prescott all over again, where we get caught up in the moment. And I'm trying to.
I'm just saying right now. Where we're talking. I'm not saying.
I'm saying right now. What's their record? 2-3.
They're 3-3. They're 500.
Smashed by Green Bay.
They're the best. Okay. Green Bay is one of the best teams in the league.
We saw what that team was when they placed a elite competition.
And that's cool. And we're not saying that the Raiders are Super Bowl contenders. Mm-hmm. We're not saying that the Raiders are going to go far. What we're saying is that we got to give John Gruden credit because we thought they were going to be way worse. We thought they were going to be way worse because, again, he traded away his best player in Khalil Mack. The whole AB fiasco. We didn't know what the future held for Derek Carr. Derek Carr looks back to being a really good quarterback in this league. You have to give John Gruden and Mike Mayock a lot of
his
credit.
Draft picks with the running back, with that corner. They're
starting to pan out, and we don't know what these future draft picks are going to hold. They might be a joker. All I'm saying, Ken, is this. All I'm saying is this. Did you expect for them to be 500 right now?
I do remember. They're not 500. They're 3-3.
Ken. Did you expect for them to be?
Are you sure?
500 7 weeks into the season? Yes or no?
Yep, they 3-3. Who
did they beat? So they were 3-2 coming into this week.
They beat the Broncos the first game, then they lost to, then they beat the Colts and the Bears, and they just lost to the Packers.
The Colts is a good win,
and the Bears. Oh, we know what that offense is. Well, you looking at me? Me? About the Bears?
You're the one that said that's a good win.
And then their next four games, they play against the Texans, the Lions, the Chargers, and the Bengals. So they win in at least two to three of those. They could be.
I can't do it.
But answer the question, Ken.
No.
In week seven.
I'll answer the question. No, I
see,
did all not.
Right.
I'm not going to – I still –
But that's given – that right there, by you not thinking they were going to be 500, is giving John Gruden his props.
This feels like when Dak beat up on those good teams in 3 weeks, we had him in
– We going to get to Dak. Save your Dak, though. We going to get to Dak.
In the top eight.
We
saw what happened when he came back down to reality. Nah.
We saw what happened this past Sunday, too.
It was terrible.
Is Aaron Rodgers the forgotten MVP of the season?
Yes.
Why is that? It's because of the style that they're playing that you got to give credit to everybody instead of just him?
No, I think that there was a lot of noise finishing last year, right? Because we know how great Aaron Rodgers is, but he hasn't been in the playoffs. He hasn't been winning. So we know that that Mike McCarthy thing was kind of big. And obviously they downplayed it as much as possible. So now you bring in a new head coach. And at the beginning of the season, we're like, oh, they're not on the same page. They're this, that, and the third. We had questions about their defense. We didn't know how good they were going to be, but we know that they improved. We also didn't know how good the run game was going to be, even though we know they drafted a guy that, okay, maybe he could do something, right? Devontae Adams has been out pretty much the entire season so far. And they are now just catching rhythm offensively. So it was just a lot of, I want to say, negativity, and then also a lot of discombobulation to begin the season that now we're just seeing what Aaron Rodgers could do in this offense. And I think it's now, right, literally almost midway through the season that, okay, now they're starting to gain traction, and they know what they want to do and how they want to do it and how they're going to execute, and that trust needs to be formed. So we're just seeing that right now, because at the end of the day, Aaron Rodgers is still top three, bro. Like he didn't fall off. Mm-hmm. He's still top three. It was just a lot of other stuff happening. It's just starting to get in sync, and I think it's kind of scary.
Yeah, and I think, you know, people just got tired of him. You know, out of sight, out of mind. Like you said, he's been hurt, and people just got.
And he didn't make the playoffs the last two seasons.
Yeah, right? So I think they just got tired of the Aaron Rodgers drama. But he's starting to adjust to this team and this offense. Him and
Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, they developing chemistry, man, and he's starting to understand the offense, which we've seen evidence of that with the increase in touchdowns.
Man, this man only had 6 incompletions.
Yesterday?
6 incompletions.
He was balling. Like,
that's, who you play?
It was the Raiders. But that doesn't mean
it was a perfect game.
You play
it
who
was
you
a perfect
play.
Game.
You play who you got to play. You just want to shit on them.
You do. And we never thought the Raiders were going to be good. So it's not like you're throwing shots at
them. Yeah, and they're 500. They could be a lot worse.
A lot worse.
Especially for how they gut the team.
They could have been 1-6. And I would have expected that.
Speaking of teams that maybe need to start gutting their roster, but they got to start with the coaching staff. When would Dan Quinn get fired?
This, he should have been gone.
These Falcons.
It's a wrap.
And how long is Matt Ryan? I haven't really looked at the injury report, but I saw he was
matter.
In a walking boot.
Yep. It don't even
he
matter.
Ain't hurt.
Taking the rest of the season off.
He said, fuck this shit. He making an injury and everything. The pain shoot from leg to leg.
Yeah. He should have been gone.
Break it down for me. What's going on?
They're not even playing hard anymore. And remember, that's the thing I said last week. I was like, I don't know if I get rid of Dan Quinn just yet. Let me see how the team plays.
We know. We see it now.
They're talking about trading Vic Beasley and everything. Once that happens, that's when you start going down the line.
You can't trade the pieces, not the pieces.
It's the coach. Yeah, it's the coach at this point. He's lost the locker room. They shouldn't have never lost that damn Super Bowl.
Yep.
That is the beginning of the end for Dan Quinn.
And he hasn't been able to replace Kyle Shanahan, who, interestingly enough, is 6-0. And look at
San Fran too.
You know, so I think he just hasn't been able to replace his coaches.
Yep.
And he is not a guy that can do it all. He's no Belichick. He's no Sean Payton. He's a guy. No Pete Carroll.
And it's funny because they play the Seahawks next.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Pete Carroll lost his offensive coordinator after he lost costing that Super Bowl, and they still rolling.
Yep.
And he doesn't, and we know Matt Ryan is a dependent player.
Exactly,
he's
not Russell Wilson.
Yep,
he's not Russell Wilson. So it's one of those things, man. That you know, I think at this point, you know, Dimitroff is a very smart GM, and I think that Vic Beasley is good but not great. If you can get additional draft capital for him,
I think it's because his contract. That's all it is.
Of course,
he's making like $12 million.
Yeah, they're paying him like he's elite. They were paying him for his ceiling that he didn't reach yet, and I don't think he's going to reach it. He is what he is now. But there are teams, right, that are going to be championship contenders that are you know, the damn Rams. Rams picking up everybody. They might want to pick up Vic Beasley too. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, I think the Hawks are in a soft rebuild mode. Because I think, again, the offensive side of the ball is fine. I think they need that offensive coordinator. They need – or, you know, the quarterback guru head coach type guy.
Mm-hmm.
They need that. And then on defense, they just need even more, you know, talent. Because, look, Keanu Neal, I think, is probably the hardest hitting strong safety in the league, but your defense shouldn't fall apart just because he's not there. They look atrocious. They look bad. And now, like I said last week, now they're not even playing hard anymore. So it's a bad look. If I'm them, if Matt Ryan is hurt or not, take the rest of the season off. Julio, you know.
Do they go in this year's draft with a QB in mind?
It depends on who they can get.
Because this is supposed to be a stock QB draft, like as quiet as it's kept. I know
there's
not.
Don't tank for Tua.
Nobody's tanking for two. It's just nice to say, but I don't think anybody's really tanking for two anymore. But there's still a lot of other, I think there's like at least six of them coming out this year. And
so again, I think it depends on where you fall. Like if you fall in the top 12, 14, yeah, I think you take QB.
Well, what's their record? They're like 1-5.
Yep.
So they're gonna be a top.
Trevor Lawrence. Well, tank for Trevor.
Well, Trevor, he ain't coming out this year.
I would say. Lose for Lawrence.
He can't come out this year.
No, he's next year. But the kid from Stanford, they're talking about him. I forgot his name. It's like KJ or something like that. Like he's supposed to be like not like Andrew Luck, but like he is a traditional QB, like prototypical. This is who you draft type shit.
They just lost to UCLA.
Andrew Luck had a lot of bad losses in Stanford too. It's hard to get talent out there.
At least they were ranked though.
Nah, I feel you. But just come on, man. Stanford, bro, that's like MIT, like in terms of how smart you have to get, how smart you have to be to get in.
UCLA beat Stanford, and they beat the shit out of them.
One of those things.
Are the Rams back? Are they back on track?
Nah.
No.
That was just a gimme game?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the Falcons. Yeah. Like, we can't give them credit for that.
Yeah. But I'll put it to you, like, Jalen did his damn thing against Julio, though. You know that was the first time you played against him?
Really?
Yeah. I thought Julio had like 100 yards still.
He did.
Julio Jones.
That's not doing your damn thing.
But did you see the plays that Jalen was there? Like, of course. Look, man, when you're talking about the best of the best, like even Randy and Chris Carter got a couple of passes on Deion. It is what it is. A great pass is going to beat the greatest defense. It is. That's how it's designed to be. Great offense is always going to beat great defense.
So speaking on that Jalen Ramsey trade, will that pay more dividends down the line, or is this off? Like I said, are they back? They look good, but their issues weren't with the corner or the secondary. It was mostly with the offensive line.
He's
going to
make a difference, though.
He is.
Yeah, I mean, Julio is Julio. He's like the best receiver in the league. So, but I think he's going to make a difference. It feels like it, but the Falcons are so bad, we don't really know yet. But defensively, he's going to improve them a lot.
And I think that Aaron Donald, he over there fighting, fighting Freeman and stuff like that. So he might be suspended next game. So,
and where is he at? Y'all told me he was like best player in the NFL.
That's what he's supposed to be.
Where is he at? I got nothing to say about that.
Ain't my
team. Rewind the tape.
Why don't people respect Jacoby Brissett?
Why didn't you respect Jacoby Brissett?
I know why I didn't. I'm saying why everybody else. I'm giving him respect now.
Hey, FIFO gave that man respect.
Go ahead.
FIFO said that the Colts were going to win that division. Right now, who's number one in that division?
The Colts.
And they look like they're only going to get better.
Is he the best quarterback in that division?
No. Deshaun is.
So that was my reason why I didn't look or notice him, especially with Andrew Luck just quitting on the day before the
but
first
look
season.
At the rest of the roster though,
yeah.
And that's the reason why I said even with Jacoby, I'm like, yo, I think that they're gonna win.
Yeah, but I mean, like you look at we're gonna get to Chicago, but like you look at Mitch Trubisky. I'm just saying. Even with a good roster, a QB can hold a team back. I didn't think Jacoby was this good.
We tried to tell you.
Yeah.
He could play.
Look, man.
Kyle tried to tell you. FIFO picked him. We were trying to tell you.
Look,
you're having a bad year, man.
Yeah, he is, man. You are, bro. You are in all sports. But
hold on. Basketball ain't started yet.
It's already bad for you. But, no, man, like with Jacoby, man, we knew he could throw the rock, and it wasn't like he came in there, he was a game manager. They opened it up for him. We saw what he could do. We just didn't see it consistently, right? Because that first year when he came, he played, he was just finding himself, and he's been behind Andrew Luck. So based off of what I saw already, based off of the fact that I knew that they were going to be the deepest team in that division, I'm like, yo, this is going to be Jacoby Brissett's coming out party, and it is. It is, because he is a starting level quarterback in the league. I'm not saying he's the best. I'm not saying he's top five. I'm not saying he's top 10. But I know that he's above top 15. I know he's at 15. And if you give me one of the deepest rosters in the NFL with a guy that doesn't make a lot of turnovers, because that's one endearing quality about Jacoby, is that he's not just out there gunslinging, trying to make every single play, trying to fit. No, he takes what the defense gives him. He plays within himself. And because of that,
very New England-like, right?
Very New England.
Shout out to Frank Reich, who's doing a hell of a job coaching him. I think he is another guy that he needs the pieces to be successful.
100%. And they got him.
And they got him. And now he's with the coaching. And his ability, his lack of turnovers, is working out. So
they're going to be a tough out.
Are they a contender? Because isn't he supposed to?
What type of contender? Playoff team, or Super Bowl contender?
Like obviously the AFC is wide open. Like outside of the Pats, like there you can be anybody up two and down. You know what I mean? Like for the second seed, like. Especially with the way he's throwing these touchdowns, isn't he almost leading the league?
They said there was a stat, I forgot, I saw it on Twitter and through Bleacher Report that he's on pace to lead the league in touchdown passes.
This is my biggest question mark about Jacoby Brissett. What does he look like in cold weather? Because if they can get home, if they can get home,
black folks don't like cold.
We don't like cold weather like that. So if he can get majority home field advantage and don't got to go to Foxborough, they might be a Super Bowl.
They
got to
get the number one seed then. And right now,
it's possible.
The Pats schedule is cupcakes.
It is.
They got damn the diabetes from that schedule. Like that shit is.
You know, here's the thing. I think that if they can even get the second seed, right, and you know New England might get more than likely they'll get the first, but as long as they could be top two, we'll see. I just got to see what they play like in outdoor weather, because we've known the Peyton Manning Colts, even the Andrew Luck Colts, they don't play.
And they're in the best
there.
Division because they got the Jaguars and they got Houston, so they play mostly warm weather teams. Dome teams throughout at least eight times a year.
Hey Chris Smith in the chat real quick said to stop the Aaron Donald. Disrespect.
There's some Ram fans in here, WD.
I know. Because he had 20 sacks this year. My brother, how many he got this year? What's next?
Did Deshaun Watson mess up his MVP race?
Nah.
He's still in it.
Yeah, it's just he just lost to a good team. Yep, so.
How are these Texans looking like, though, moving forward?
They win and lose with him.
They're up and down. They're two up and down.
I think Bill O'Brien. I think they're going to – I'm sorry, FIFO.
This is his last year?
I don't know if it's his last year, but I think their play is based on his performance as a coach.
I put it to you like this. They need to make at least a wild card slot this year, or I think he's gone.
But don't they always make wild card and get knocked out?
And it's his playoff performances, I think, is what's
exactly inviting him. Because now, right, we said that, or the consensus was, Deshaun don't got an O-line. He don't got nobody protect him. You made the trade. You've gone in your last two or three games, you gave up no sacks. So you're starting to see the progression or your dividends play off from that trade. At this point, there are no more excuses. You have to get a playoff win.
Because it feels like to me that Deshaun Watson is overcoming his coaching.
Well, he always had to since he got drafted.
Since he got in the NFL. Yeah. But when he's with the – what's the guy in Clemson? Dabo?
Yeah.
You give him a coach, sky's the limit.
Yeah, because he's super clutch.
Yeah.
He's super clutch.
Yeah, Dabo said he's MJ.
Yeah, but he needs his
he needs Scotty or Jackson. Phil Jackson.
Yeah, he needs his Phil Jackson.
The 49ers. Are they for real?
Jimmy G, baby.
Kyle Shanahan. Look, and I'm going to give you Jimmy G, right?
Because I ain't giving you Jimmy G.
Because I've been on Jimmy G too. I think he's a really good quarterback.
I call him Jimmy Crack Corn, but go
whatever.
Ahead.
But that man, Kyle Shanahan, I've been trying to tell y'all, that is the difference between the Falcons. That right there, that man right there.
You can draw a line like it's facts.
It's facts.
You've got data to support it, and it's in W's and L's.
Yes, yes, man. Look, what Kyle Shanahan is doing with Jimmy G and with the 49ers is getting the match, dictating the matchup. I know what your weaknesses are, and I'm going to exploit them. and I'm going to keep calling plays that you can't overcome. And you know what? We may have, you know, a couple three and outs here and there, but we're setting you up. And they every game they get a big play, whether it's over the pass, the run, they get, and then the way that they're constructed. They got two of the fastest running backs in the league, Tevin Coleman and Breida. You know what I'm saying? Wide receiver, I don't know who the hell the wide receivers are.
That's what's impacting Jimmy. He has nobody to
really throw to.
So you're saying they're coming up with these great offensive game plans because they're facing the Bengals, the Browns, the Skins, the Bucks. You know, these are the top teams that they're, you know, game planning for. They ain't play shit. That's what I'm trying to basically say. The only teams that I give you credit for is the Rams and maybe the Steelers game because Big Ben got hurt.
What's the lowest amount of points they scored?
The lowest amount of points they scored was 9, which is most recent. Yeah,
and the second lowest?
Second lowest is 20.
I think that's just,
but look at the teams that I'm saying. The Bucks, they ain't got no defense. The Bengals are the Bengals. The Steelers, they pretty much gave that game to them. And then the Browns have been the Browns. What are we talking about?
He just don't want to be wrong on Jimmy G.
It ain't that. It's because he's not. I will give you Kyle Shanahan. It ain't Jimmy G. It's Kyle Shanahan.
It's both.
Because Kyle Shanahan,
because somebody got to go out there and execute.
He didn't do that with Nate Sudfeld, and even if that was his name, with the other quarterbacks he had last year. He started when he won some games, but he wasn't 6-0. I'll give you this. I'm gonna keep the same energy. That schedule is
because
easy.
The only
cupcake.
Next four is against the Panthers, the Cardinals, the Seahawks, and then they play the Cardinals again. Yeah, so that Panthers Cardinals, we'll definitely see what they really are. But I don't believe in this team at all.
You got to believe in that defense. Now, you don't
defense is good. Yeah, I'll give you the defense.
You don't have to believe in Jimmy G. But I bet you if he was 0-6, I bet you'd be talking shit about Jimmy G.
100%.
What you mean? I'm talking shit now.
But you don't want to give him credit for being 6-0.
I'm not saying obviously you can't shit on 6-0, but we have to look at it with context. We always say context. That 6-0 ain't as the same as we're talking about with the like a 5-1 with the Green Bay Packers. You know what I mean? It's like that their record, if you look at these teams that they're facing, these are not the teams that are going to be facing down in December and January.
Yeah, they're just like the Patriots. They played a bunch of weekends.
But the Patriots have been proven time and time again that they can beat anybody. The 49ers have been – this is their first time they're 6-0 since the 90s.
Which is because of Jimmy G and Kyle Shanahan. But, you know, if you want to give it to Kyle Shanahan – I don't care cuz and I'm with you. Like I said in our chat, the Rams Kyle don't believe in them yet. And I'm not going to argue with anybody. I just like to say 6-0. I just like to rub it in your face. But but they haven't played anybody. But Kyle Shanahan is doing what he needs to do to coach. This is what a good coach looks like.
100.
This is how coaches can win games.
And shout out to John Lynch drafting
100%.
That defense. Was it a top? This is that first round. That's a first round defense.
Yeah, I didn't. But when I think about Jimmy G's offensive performance, and I know because I drafted him, so I had to drop him.
because he got number ranked 15 or 18.
That Kyle is in terms of coaching, he's not being very aggressive with him. I think he's letting him play himself back into football shape and get to a level of comfort, and he doesn't have anybody to throw to outside of Kittle. That's why they're running the ball a lot, and they're playing time of possession.
The next couple questions dealing with the top two rookies drafted in this year's draft class.
Let's go.
Do we just need to give Kyler Murray the Rookie of the Year trophy?
By default.
Kind of, sort of. Because shit, like they're a better team with him. They look better.
I mean, they beat up on these shitty teams. But,
of course.
But he's showing a lot of progression.
Of course.
He's played well. And within himself.
But he's very limited. Like, and as much as I really like Kyler Murray. I really do. But when you watch him play, you can see that the height, the size, it won't allow him to be as great as he possibly could be. That the skill set that he possesses will allow him to. Because he's not Russell Wilson. And he has a better arm than Russell, but he's just not Russell Wilson.
What's the difference?
I don't think it's the coaching. I don't think that he is as great of a magician as Russell Wilson is. Also, he can't play under center.
What about cerebral? Like, does he have Russell's cerebral game? Because that's what Russ had. Russ had that defense. Kyler doesn't have that.
Nah, I haven't seen it. I'm not going to say he doesn't have it, but I haven't seen it.
And obviously it's a different play calling because they don't have the defense.
And because he has to play out of shotgun.
Well, you know, I think Russ – I can't remember Russ' rookie year, but he was very high IQ. He had the Legion of Boom, so we didn't have to take him any chances.
Yeah, but as far as, like, Russ can play in any formation still.
Yeah.
You can't put Kyler Murray in any formation to be successful.
Not yet.
Not yet.
I don't think he can throw from up under center. I think he's too short. And that's what I'm saying. He has certain limitations. I think he's really good.
Yeah, yeah.
But he has certain limitations that I don't think will allow him to be considered the best in the league. Right? Like, because Russell Wilson right now is considered the best quarterback in the league.
Because if he was in the I formation, he would have to do like a 7-step drop back just to see over the line.
Or more than likely be a run.
Yeah. The next one is for you, Ken. Was Danny Dimes too hyped up? This is rookie year. All right. We always talk about Peyton Manning threw, 18, 17 picks.
But he looked good doing
it. Danny's a franchise QB in my mind. He's a franchise QB.
Where is the evidence?
The evidence was game one against the Bucks.
And
game two against the Skins.
Nah, man. I'll give him a pass for being a rookie. I always like to.
And Pat Shurmur isn't helping him at all either. That game plan against the Cardinals was horrible.
I called out Shurmur, and now he
needs and now I'm with you on that because Shurmur
he ain't talking shit anymore, is he?
Not really.
Remember, he used to talk a lot of shit. Not my doctor.
But the thing is, he's an offensive coordinator. How do you not get like?
Remember, he talked all that shit about that's why we drafted him, and now you guys like all that shit was talking in the preseason. Oh, he quiet now. Where he at? What quotes he got now?
The one thing I do like is this defense. The defense is coming along, and they've been making some plays, even special teams to a certain extent.
They couldn't stop Kyler Murray.
No, but and Danny hasn't put him in position to – like, he throws picks. He, it's three and outs. Like, it's not like
– he turns the ball over a lot. Yeah. Where are the Jamin Wentz, the people that criticize Jamin for turning the ball over? Where y'all at with Danny?
But Jamin's –
They did that with Jamin in his first year in the league, first year as a rookie starter.
And Jamin's is balling right now.
Except out of that last game.
For the season.
He's playing well, and I like Aaron's got on him about some of the mistakes he made. So he's coaching him up. But everybody had their week. They enjoyed it, and I just said, we got to wait. I did not see it. It was the Bucks. The Bucks went out the very next game and did the same damn thing. And Danny, he's not looking like a – top 10 quarterback right now.
I mean, no one expected him to be a top 10 quarterback. I'm just saying.
He got drafted like one, though.
Franchise QB. I mean, he got drafted
In terms of his talent, his play, compared to where he was drafted. We see it. Like, I know there's some physical attributes that Kyler doesn't have that's causing people to pause. But we see the talent.
He's talented.
I don't see the talent. I don't know about
He don't jump off the screen.
Nah, he's
that's
not.
The thing.
He doesn't. I don't think he needs to. He's not that kind of QB.
He needs to from where he was drafted. Yes.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Like, it doesn't mean that he has to always jump off of the screen. But I still haven't seen like moments yet because even Sam Darnold. You're hard on Sam Darnold.
And,
but there's moments. It's like, ooh, damn.
I saw the moments.
Look at Goff in his first year. Right. He didn't jump off the screen.
No. But that was all Jeff Fisher.
Yep.
Because I called that. As soon as I was like, look, man, this because B and Ken were all the way against Jared Goff. And I'm like, no, y'all wrong. He's the guy. Jeff Fisher is messing him up.
Can we say the same thing about Pat?
I still don't. Not all the way there with Goff, but
I'm just saying, like, we've seen it.
The man got you to a damn
with Shurmur.
He needs the coach. Yeah, he got the coach. Yeah, he definitely needs the coach. The coach was an improvement, and he has the physical tools. So I saw it with Goff when he got McVay.
Yep.
To your point, maybe it is Shurmur. I don't know. But to FIFO's point, there were moments last year with Sam Darnold where I was like, ooh, I don't know. I might have been wrong on him. So, and I haven't seen that with Danny.
And that's what, how many straight starts now? Three, four?
That was his
fifth?
Four touchdowns, like seven turnovers?
Yeah.
He looks bad, man.
No, seven picks and like three turnovers or two fumbles, something like that. Something crazy.
He had a problem with he's working on himself. All right. He ain't a finished product. You don't judge a quarterback in his first year.
Well, you was judging him after his first game.
Yes, you were.
I was saying he was a franchise QB.
And how can you say that after one game?
Because I seen that. I seen the intangibles.
You ain't seen
I'm not saying he's a finished product, but I think he can be a franchise
QB. You
still
see those tangibles? Because we have a lot of evidence now. We have
multiple I like his throw. I like his deep ball. I think he needs to allow the game to slow down for him. I think some of this defense stuff is just too much for him sometimes.
So the tangibles you saw in the first game against
the first couple games, yes.
You still see that?
I still see that. He knows how he's a scramble. Like he's a playmaker. I see him as a playmaker. And he just needs to let the game slow down. We'll see. Give me year two. If year two is shitty,
I can't do that.
Give me year two.
I'll give him the rookie pass because I know he's gonna make mistakes.
Yes.
But I still haven't seen the moments. I haven't seen it yet. I just haven't seen it. I've seen a second round QB. Minshew looked better than him, bro.
All right, we're going to move on. Y'all ain't going to shit on my team like that. do the Chargers need to blow this team up?
Yes.
Did you watch that game at all?
Melvin
has had the worst holdout in NFL history.
Yes.
He held out.
He didn't prove
shit. You had a chance to win us the game, and you fumble, nigga? Yeah, this is your job.
I need all those points in my fantasy team. I was so mad when I
Swab had him as the way they, because he was happy as he was talking shit like, let's go. Then they called that shit back. I'm like, man.
I was like, when I saw that, I was like, man, are you serious?
Austin Eckler looks like he should be the starter right now.
He's more versatile. He can run between the tackles. He's proven that. And he can catch the ball out of the backfield.
Melvin, everything you need a running back to do in 2019.
Yeah, Melvin can do all of those things, but when you miss training camp and you miss games, it impacts you on the field.
And you talking shit throughout that whole process.
And it's something that I didn't realize the importance of all those practices and stuff until I started listening to Chris Carter. And he always stresses, like, those moments are critical.
Mark Schlereth says the same thing about
those reps.
He says, like, because of the new CBA or the current CBA, how they've taken away practices and all this other stuff, it's hard to really get, especially during the week, to get these game plans set up.
They say the Wednesday practice is the most important one. I didn't know that. But now I see evidence of it. Like, it's being backed up. So in terms of blowing it up.
You got to let Phillip go. You got to – obviously, you can let Melvin go.
I don't know, man.
Who else do you really need?
I think they're in purgatory. I think it's some FIFA like to say. I think they're – and I don't know what that purgatory is. I can't describe it. And I don't know what the first word that goes in front of it. But they are stuck. And if you blow it up, what do you do?
I like the coach, though. I hope they don't get rid of the coach.
And I think the coach is the problem.
You think Glenn is the problem?
I think he's the problem.
He's too conservative?
He's the brother, right?
Yeah.
I hate to do it to him, but I think he's the problem. They still have all that talent. They have the talent. This undeniable.
But Phillip Rivers, the way he's throwing.
Phillip Rivers is
he's taking a step back?
Yeah, man. He's starting to see the age.
He's looking like Drew Brees in that second half of last year. Okay. That Cowboy game.
He don't have the arm strength. And we already know that he wasn't mobile. He's less mobile now. You know what I'm saying? The throw power isn't there. The accuracy is still somewhat there. Because
he
most
always
part,
had a weird throw.
Yeah, like, he's a shot put kind of thrower. You know what I'm saying? And the release just isn't as quick. Like, he's just slower.
Okay.
He's just not the same kind of quarterback. And because he has taken a step back, I think that overall team is taking a step back.
Like you said, they have weapons all over the place. And for a team to have weapons to lose to the Titans.
Like, you know who needs to be on that team?
Ryan Tannehill.
No.
No. I wasn't saying he needs to be on that team. Okay. I'm just saying they put in to replace him with Mariota got benched.
Matt Stafford. Ooh. You put him there? That's a championship contender. That's a championship team.
I like.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So to me, the Chargers, you know, would I give up a Melvin Gordon to get Matt Stafford? Yeah, I would. And you can have a first-round pick, too, and get him off of my squad because I ain't paying him. You know what I'm saying?
He was talking like he a top-five running back. Shit.
Not skillfully he is, but he just hasn't – he hasn't been big in the biggest moments. That's a problem.
I don't really know a big game – like. I don't really know big moments, like you said.
And here's the other thing, too. I think that great running backs elevate your team.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't elevate the Chargers.
Yeah, he never really did.
He never has. So because of that, it's like, yeah, you're good. Yeah, you're fast. Yeah, you know, you could catch. You could do a lot of stuff. But what's your true value to this team? It's never been high. Keenan Allen is more important to this team. Derwin James is more important to this team. Mm-hmm. Phillip Rivers is still more important to this team than Melvin Gordon. We can't say the same thing about Saquon. Saquon's the most important player on that team.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference.
Do the Saints need to make a QB change? Meaning, do they need to, like, they're 5-0 right now. They just threw a bunch on a strong Bears defense.
Mm-hmm.
Teddy seems like this is the most comfortable. This is the Teddy that he was supposed to be mm-hmm. drafted as, you know? Mm-hmm. Drew Brees could fuck it up, in my mind.
I put it to you like this. This is the way you play this out. You play Teddy, as long as he wins his first loss, you go back to Drew.
That's what I said. I said the same thing in the chat.
Because I'm not benching no damn Drew Brees for Teddy. I don't care how many games he won.
Yes.
But as soon as he loses that first one, yeah, you know, we wanted to hold Drew out. You know,
he wasn't helped.
We wanted to make sure he was
110%. That Cam shit, yeah.
He's 120% now. Now he's playing. And I think it's as simple as that.
And their next game, I forgot who they play. But they have a bye week right after that, after this week. So, like, the excuse could be we're waiting until after the bye mm-hmm. so he can get all that full mm-hmm. rest, and then mm-hmm. he'll be back for the second half of the season.
Yep.
But 5-0?
Yeah, no, it's tough, but it's Drew Brees, though. But you know what I'm saying?
What do you care more about, wins or the name?
I think that you would have won the majority of those games if Drew Brees was healthy anyway. So
really?
It's not about – yeah, I don't think it's about the name. I think it's about – knowing, going back to what you know. And we know Drew Brees is a Super Bowl winning quarterback. I can't say the same about Teddy Bridgewater.
No, you can't do that, man.
I'm just saying momentum is a factor in the NFL.
And that's why I said you swap it out as soon as you lose that momentum.
But what if after the bye they still winning Teddy?
You put Brees. Stop.
You saying you no matter what happens, you put Brees back in.
Yes. Yeah, at some point. Because here's the thing. I don't think that Teddy Bridgewater goes undefeated for the rest of the season.
No, what if he can't? He may.
But okay, so they're
hold on, let me look at their schedule.
What's their record right now?
Hold on. Why are you doing that?
6-1.
6-1, right? So that means that there's 9 more games, right, in the season.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going 9-0.
They face the Falcons next before they have
easy breezy.
No, they face the they face the Cardinals next before they have their bye.
That's so a win.
Then they come back to the Falcons.
Uh-huh.
Then they're at the Bucks.
Uh-huh.
And then they have the Panthers. And then they still face the Falcons and the rest of the season.
So all of those pretty easy wins.
I'm Drew Brees is going to come back for the Panthers.
I think you can bring him back then, but you don't have to rush to play him.
Nah.
That's at the end of November.
You do.
That's cool. That's Drew Brees.
So here's why that
I'm
works.
I'm saying he got to get back into his shape, too.
Drew Brees is fine. That's Drew Brees, man.
Here's why that works out. And because, number one, it's Drew Brees. But more importantly, I think one of you guys just mentioned it earlier. Like, he won't be tired because he won't play a full season. He wore down last year as the season went on. This time he's going to be fresh.
Yep.
So you get a fresh Drew Brees. To end the season?
Now, I'm gonna tell you where Teddy Bridgewater need to go next year.
Chicago.
He need to
100.
He need to
100. No, he don't need to stay. What do
okay,
you mean?
Okay, okay. Because I would love to see him inherit this Saints team Sean Payton. Like, the importance of you always talk about coach quarterback.
No, of course. But Matt Nagy is just missing a quarterback.
Yeah.
Because, look, man, if you take away Trubisky, and we look at what that offense is very gimmicky right now because they have to create those matchups.
Yep.
It has to be because Trubisky is such a deterrent to any type of momentum offensively, right? Like he can't get the simple plays down that creates that forward progress, right? Teddy Bridgewater would go into Chicago with that defense. He would go into Chicago with those offensive weapons that they got. And they would be an instant Super Bowl contender with Teddy Bridgewater.
Trubisky, man.
Yo, Trubisky, out the league.
I try to hold
he's
on.
He's mellowed.
Hey, don't say – hold on. Don't disrespect Mello by saying
Mello is a verb.
You bite your tongue on that one.
Oh, yeah. Can you go ahead and say what you said in the chat for the people that's listening?
I said FIFO is right. The Bears need to do something about Mitch. Right.
We need to get that on public record.
Thank you.
Hey, and you already took my next question. I was like, what can the Bears do to salvage this season?
There's nothing. There's literally because
do they make a trade for Teddy now when Brees comes back?
No. New Orleans ain't doing that.
Because I think New Orleans will try to hold on to Teddy because I think they would like, now that they've seen that he can win
mm-hmm.
with Sean Payton, they would like for him to inherit it. And I think that's part of why he stayed.
Yeah, but the player in Teddy wants to go mm-hmm. and play now. Because think about it. You got to strike when the iron's hot, especially mm-hmm. in the NFL, because mm-hmm. ain't nothing guaranteed. Mm-hmm. So if he waits around, you know, what if Sean Payton decides to retire with Drew yep. Brees?
Or draft
the
QB.
Or what if the organization gets rid of Sean Payton because Drew Brees is gone? Now, yeah. where does that leave you? Like, you played an extra maybe year or two behind Drew Brees, and now you don't have the same opportunity. So, no, he has to go.
This was a dress rehearsal for Teddy Bridgewater.
100%. This was his shot to be a starting NFL quarterback again, and he's acing the test.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't see the Bears being aggressive and trying to get
they're gonna
somebody?
Ride, nah. Wait, when is his option up? When is Trubisky?
He was drafted the same class as Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson.
So this is third year?
So that means he's
gonna that's be crazy. Up. They traded up to get Mitch over Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, man. So they
married to him.
Nah, they got
to.
They
married to him. They married to him.
They'll probably go five. They'll probably do the Winston and go 4-5 and then dump her.
Oh, no, hell no. No, I put it to you like this. This is the reason why I'm saying hell no.
Because of the Khalil Mack and all that shit?
Exactly. That mm-hmm. defense. Because of that defense. You can't continue
the organization will not admit they made a mistake like that.
You know what I feel like Khalil Mack's going to do? He going to pull that shit that Ray Lewis and Shannon Sharpe did when they was with the Baltimore Ravens that year they won the Super Bowl.
They're
going to go to the front office and be like, or he's going to be like, look, it's me or him.
Yep.
Who do you want?
100%.
Khalil Mack's not that kind of guy.
But he got to be.
But Ken.
A great defense like this only lasts like 2-3 years at most.
Exactly.
And then you blow the whole team
and
up.
And they got a whole bunch of defenders on that side, bro. Look, they have to get a ready now quarterback because that defense is championship right now, today and tomorrow.
I understand. But I think when they made the trades and they looking at Pats and they looking at Deshaun.
And that defense is getting tired of this QB.
And
because
they made the playoffs last year with Trubisky. I think they
– nah.
But they only put up – they only threw up what? How many points? Like 16 that playoff game or 13?
And the Ravens did the same thing they won.
I'm going to put it to you like this. I think that Chicago's front office is smart enough to get out of the Trubisky business.
Okay.
Because here's the thing. You're 100% right. A lot of organizations don't like to admit mistakes, right? Mm-hmm. But I think the way that Chicago has drafted, how they've constructed this defense, how they play, their coach, they are in win now. If you look at everything, their wide receivers, the running backs, the defense, everything is win now minus the quarterback. Because, look, let's be honest.
Or maybe they think the defense is enough to carry them a la the Ravens.
Not in 2019.
It can't.
Not in 2019.
Because here's Ken, it gets real tiring, right, for a defense to be like, to be asked.
Three and
every team that we play against.
Unless you embrace it like Ray Lewis, because they embrace that shit.
But you know what? But here's the thing, though.
That's when you can play smash mouth football,
exactly.
too.
Exactly. And who was they running back?
Jamal Lewis.
Yes. And how many yards was he rushing under Baltimore?
He almost ran for 2,000.
He had I think the year of the Super Bowl, he had like 1,800 yards, bro. So even though they couldn't throw the ball.
I got you. I see the connection. Yeah, they don't have a running game.
And Tariq Cohen is nice, but he's a gadget guy. Yeah, he's a gadget guy.
And David Montgomery seems like he's a bust.
And Davis ain't doing much either.
And here's the thing. Like, the Tariq Cohens and that other running back, they can excel if the quarterback was a legit quarterback.
Okay.
They even can go for Andy Dalton at this point.
Bruh, bring back, get Tony Romo on the phone. Get somebody in here.
Call the Corona hotline.
Yeah, with that bang back and all.
With everything, bruh. Because, look, Trubisky. Look, man, and you know what, man? You was a Trubisky apologist, man.
I thought I saw progression.
Nah, man.
All right, you ain't gotta lay the sauce on too hard now. Let's move topics. Next question. How long can Lamar Jackson keep up this production?
This is what Lamar is.
But we talked about in the chat. He gonna get smacked. The way he's running around these defense, they hate that. Everybody, all the defensive players, they probably in a big ass group chat like, who gonna hit him first? I'll give you money right now.
It's coming. That hit coming, man.
They either gonna smack him up top or they gonna go for them legs.
I hope he needs to call Russell Wilson. He needs to be smarter about it.
Because he don't slide.
He don't slide. He's doing the RG3 thing. He got to start getting down. But In terms of performance, like people said, this is who he is. Mm-hmm. This is who he was in college, and this is who he is in the pros. But I really love the connection that he and Harbaugh have.
Yep.
When he was like, "Do you want to go for it?" and he was so hyped. And I love the media didn't flip that like they normally do.
Well, because I feel like the media doesn't believe their friendship or their relationship, because I feel like
– with the aggression, you know, normally they'll turn it in.
No, but I mean like usually like with a young QB – like they don't talk about it like a Pat Mahomes, Andy Reid, or like a Doug Peterson, Carson Wentz.
Because they don't want to admit they made a mistake.
Because they don't want to give – I don't think they want to give credit to Ozzie Newsome either. Cause he set that franchise up for
He did, but
he's been an underrated GM the whole time.
Well, I think 100%. It's more about the criticism that they levied against Lamar Jackson.
That too, yes.
Think that's it. That's why they're less quick to embrace him than they did with Patrick Mahomes.
But I also think that, you know, when you look at Jim Harbaugh, is he really known as a QB guru?
Nope.
You know, and then we saw Lamar Jackson come into the league as a project.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So this is the first year of the marriage really working. Is this sustainable? In my heart of heart, I know so. I know what I've watched.
Sustainable as far as what? Like doing like 200 throwing and 100 rushing? Because he's right now, he's like third in the league in rushing.
Yeah, he is.
You can't do that as a QB.
No. The rushing part of that's going to come down. Even Mike Vick was, you know, top 10 in rushing, you know, in his early years. Mm-hmm. That's going to come down. It's just he got young, fresh legs and he ain't get popped yet. It's going to happen. You play football. It's going to happen. You're going to get hit a couple times and he'll slow down and he'll be more of a pocket passer, a pocket extender. Right, where he's not running downfield for 15, 20 yards. He's just going to extend the play 3 to 5 extra seconds, you know what I'm saying, behind the line of scrimmage to throw the ball. That's the eventual progression of Lamar Jackson. Coming back down, digressing back to the original question, the reason why we're not looking at this marriage like we do Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid is because, again, Jim Harbaugh is not a quarterback guru, and this was a project quarterback. So everybody still has questions. Mm-hmm. Let these guys marinate for 2 or 3 seasons and legitimize what Lamar is doing this year, then everybody's going to believe it.
Because people thought last year was a fluke, and now he's coming back 5-2, lighting people up.
Lighting people up.
You know, winning, like taking
legs, throwing the ball.
Throwing the running, ball. Running. He's doing it all. And he's showing his whole bag.
And they still don't believe it. But I bet if this was Danny Dimes running all over the place, they would talk about this shit every damn day.
You got to just.
Yeah, they just have to prove
it's a media bias right now with him.
And I think, you know, I think it's more Harbaugh than it is Lamar.
I disagree.
I think it's Lamar Jackson.
It's all based on Lamar Jackson. He is.
They don't believe him, man. They don't believe it. They're like Nick.
I feel like they're like looking at him like he's too urban for this position.
I don't even think it's that. I think they don't think it's sustainable, and I think that's why they haven't hitched their horse to him yet.
So the only thing the only thing I don't think is sustainable is the running. But that throw, like I told you at the beginning of the season, like against Miami, I don't care what type of the throws he was making. There's an improvement.
He can throw.
I never understood that throwing shit.
Yeah, that was.
Because he was. If you ever watched him in the Louisville.
No,
fuck was they even thinking?
No. We knew he had an arm. Throwing in the NFL and having an arm is two different things.
I'm with both of y'all.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like in college, he proved that he had an arm. And in the NFL, we knew that he could make the throws, but. Was he going to be able to read the entire field?
That's it, because we knew he could throw. We knew he was accurate. We didn't know if he can go through the progression.
Exactly. That's what I was saying about him being urban and at that position. Because, like, Patrick Mahomes, he plays like a Aaron Rodgers, you know, pocket passer to a certain extent. Mm. With Lamar Jackson, it's like street, not street, but like backyard football, where he's just running around throwing this and that.
But the difference in that, because Tony Romo played backyard football. Right? Like Russell Wilson plays backyard football. But the difference is that those guys still have their eyes downfield. They can look at this guy, look at this guy, look at this guy, look at this guy. Okay, let me run around because this guy's here. Let me get him on a quick spin move. Let me come back to my third guy that I just looked at in my progression.
You saying Lamar, just look at one guy. If he didn't see it, and I'm out.
But year one, that's what it looked like, right?
Yeah.
It was a one read. It was Tim Tebow. It was Tim Tebow. It was a little bit better than Tim Tebow, but it was Tim Tebow all over again. And that's why I question Can he come in? Can he throw the ball? Not because I question his arm ability or his arm talent. I questioned his eyes and the IQ it takes to go through progressions. That first game in Miami, I saw everything I needed to see because he put the ball exactly where it needed to go. He went through progressions, right? And once I saw that, I said, okay, let me not jump out the gym yet, right? He did it again. Then I think it was against Kansas City where he had quite a few questionable.
Yeah, he didn't pop off until the fourth quarter.
Bad games are going to happen.
Bad games are going to happen. Even some of the stuff he got away with when he threw across his whole body, you know what I'm saying, like on a 4th and 11 or something like that.
Yeah,
I was just like, bro, what are you doing?
But it hit, so.
But it hit, and he made it. That's what you call a playmaker. But then you look at this game. He was on point. Like, he was on every read.
And it looked like he wanted to be. Like, he had something to prove.
Yeah, because, like, when you beat Seattle, that means something. Like,
that means something. Yep. You know, and he was on – it wasn't backyard football. Mm-hmm. He put the ball – and then think about how many drops his wide receiver – and think about his
– that tight end was horrible.
Just think about the weaponry. He don't have elite weapons. Mm-hmm. He got some
Brown.
Speed with
Sneed.
Hollywood Brown.
He got some speed, but he don't got a guy?
Yeah.
You imagine he had a Julio?
And Hollywood Brown's a rookie. Yep.
So nah, man. Lamar's real.
Maurice Wilkins in the chat said that the OC for the Ravens, Coach Kaepernick.
So I was going to ask who's the OC for it was.
So that's why you
shout
see,
out to him.
Yeah.
My next question is going with the Seahawks. Have the Seahawks been more lucky than actually good this season? And I say that because if you look at the games they've been winning, it's been on basically like the game clock ran out. It wasn't the fact that they won, but the game clock ran
out. That's one way to look
at
it.
And missed field goals as well.
Yeah, I think you can look at it that way, but I look at it from this perspective. I just think that's Russell Wilson. I think that's just his.
But you look at that Rams game where the guy misses a chip shot, basically. You look at the Bengals game, the first game of the season.
Brady has gotten lucky.
Yeah.
I understand that, but I'm just saying, like.
Just like Jay says, when you play with skill, good luck will happen, right? And bad teams find ways to lose those games, mm-hmm. and good teams win them.
Yeah.
They're a good team. Maybe they ain't deserve to win it. Maybe they only played good for 5-minute stretch, but they did what they had to do to win the games that are there.
And Russell, through his play, had them in positions for those errors to happen. So, we're not going to discredit the brother like that. I done been hard enough.
No, Russell. I'm not saying Russell Wilson. I'm talking about the team.
I got you.
But again,
it's good fortune.
It is good fortune. And again, bad teams lose those type of games. They're not a bad team. So they win. They find a way. Even though that's not the way you drew it up, the W is a W.
I need Clowney to step his game up, though. Like, this defense is getting up a lot of points.
Well, we knew what Clowney was. We knew what Clowney was in the NFL.
He's saying he a clown.
he's not no clown, but he's not living up to, you know, potential. He went number one overall, right?
Yeah.
He's not living up to number one overall.
When he was with Watt, he had some really good seasons. He looked like he was going to live up to it.
But that was also a lot of Watt.
Yeah. What else? Even when Watt was hurt, but now.
And even Watt coming back from his injuries is still producing. Like, you thinking, what the hell is.
I'm glad you mentioned that. I'm going to start digging into seeing what's going on with him. That is weird. Like, I forgot he was even in Seattle. And that's not good.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of someone you forgot about or y'all has been trying to forget, how about them Cowboys, baby? You know what I'm saying? Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, that defense.
So he back top 10 now for you?
He's top 12 still. he's knocking on the door. You say he took a detour, but now he's on his way. He's on the road back.
Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. I blame that loss. Once I saw they got their ass smacked, I was like, that's Doug Peterson's fault.
All right.
Running his goddamn mouth.
Okay, I'll give you that. But that's Doug Peterson been running his mouth, though.
He needs to shut
up. He ran a whole book.
He needs to shut up.
He had a whole book ready after that Super Bowl.
Because I brought up Frank Reich earlier for a reason. Since Frank Reich been gone, Wentz ain't look all that good. That team ain't looked all that good. They won that Super Bowl when he was there. Frank Reich could be their Kyle
Shanahan. All right, so we're going to come back to the Cowboys. Let's get to this Eagles. This is where I'm going to go at Carson Wentz. But I do like your Doug Peterson angle. Carson Wentz is overrated. Carson Wentz is not that dude. And I've been telling y'all since that damn Super Bowl that he wasn't nowhere a part of. He was Ken, you was a part of that Super Bowl more than he was. He just had better tickets. All right,
he put 13 on the board. I'm not going to discredit the brother,
but he didn't win the games. We've seen teams put 12. Would they put 12 wins on the board?
Would they have been in the Super Bowl if he didn't win 13 games?
Would they have been in the Super Bowl? Say that question one more time.
Would they have even been in the playoffs or even to get to the Super Bowl without those 13 wins?
The playoffs, no. Super Bowl, yes, because Nick Foles took him in.
Yeah, Foles took it home. And Frank Reich, I'm telling you now, Frank Reich won that Super Bowl for them. Frank Reich was the reason why Carson Wentz looked as good as he has, or as he did. Frank Reich left. Look what Andrew Luck did last year under Frank Reich. Look at Jacoby Brissett under Frank Reich. Look at Carson Wentz under whoever's there
now. So the kind of Kyle Shanahan sauce type of magic?
I'm starting to get that vibe, man. I did not believe in Carson Wentz until that season. And I was slow to come around. And then I was like, oh, there's something there. But now that Frank has been peeled from that team and I see how this brother is playing, I know the tools and the skill set are there. I think he might be one of those quarterbacks that needs the coach.
And honestly, this roster isn't really that good either.
And that's the other thing. And he's elevated it at times. He's been able to do that. We've seen it up to last night's game. Last night, I think there was a buzzsaw because Peterson talked too much. And the Cowboys came out ready to whoop their ass.
And since that Super Bowl, they have not addressed their secondary, which everybody knows you could throw up points on the board with that secondary. And then on top of that, their offensive weapons, if your best receiver is, Alshon Jeffrey at this stage of his career, what are we really talking about? Deshaun Jackson's been nicked and tucked for the last couple seasons, so how much can you – and he's already long in the tooth. This him being on Philly is more like a swan song than anything else.
Game. You haven't had a running game in
since LeGarrette Blount, for real.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, Zach Ertz, he can't even he doesn't even get that many touches like he used to.
Yep. So they've been hurt. I do think that 3-4 record is partly due to the injuries.
What about that offensive line too? They're supposed to have a top five offensive line.
We can throw that in there too. I mean, the evidence is on the field. The evidence is in the record. It's a lot for Wentz to overcome, and he hasn't been able to do that.
And that locker room talking shit again, because there was somebody, anonymous source.
You brought that up. Not even talking shit. Well, yes. Lane Johnson. That's not an anonymous source.
You saying it's Lane Johnson?
There is a name. There is a name. Lane Johnson came out and said, guys are missing practices. Guys are late. Guys are not taking it serious. He called them out.
No, there was an anonymous source that said, this Wentz needs to learn how to check down every now and then.
Okay, I don't think that was Lane Johnson, but just in terms of the overall attitude, maybe they fat because they won the Super Bowl, feeling themselves like they did. But Lane Johnson definitely called them out, and I don't know.
Where does that start?
Coaching.
So you saying Dougie P?
Yeah, man.
You got to be able to have.
Didn't they jump on Tomlin?
Yep.
Yeah, they did. But they always jumped on Tomlin.
But just think about the coaches that have sustained success, meaning that you go to Super Bowl, you may or may not win, but however, your team is always there or always in the talks. Bill Belichick, Bill Parcells,
Sean Payton,
Pete Carroll. You have to have enough loose, but you got to know who the boss.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to know that if I say practice is at 10 in the morning, you got to be there at 9:45.
Second boss got to be the quarterback.
Yep.
And nobody listening to Carson Wentz.
Baby Doug Peterson isn't empowering them to listen.
We don't know.
That we don't know yet.
We don't know.
Well, I think it's more about the respect. Like, you didn't win us this Super Bowl. We already had the shrine for Nick Foles.
Ken said, though, like, part of that is the coach empowering the QB. You know what? Y'all want to know what time practice is? Hit up Carson. Let Carson run and organize certain things. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to do those type of things because that is what galvanizes teams.
And I think part of that roster has turned over. I got to look at it.
This is football. Of course it did.
That's not even a Super Bowl roster.
Well, so that's
who are they to talk shit about what Carson Wentz did or didn't do? Mm-hmm.
Well, no, the ones who are there are the ones. I think those are the ones who are talking shit. And that the reason
and
why
Doug
that
Peterson got to get that shit in check.
That turnover on the roster is also on Philly too, because they let Bennett go. They let a couple other people go. Obviously, they had some people retire. Mm-hmm. But
they probably salary. I mean, cap.
What happened to the Legion of Boom once they started talking?
Yep.
You out of here. You out of here. You out of here. Mm-hmm. And replace them. Y'all not going to talk nothing about no Russell Wilson?
Are they a playoff team?
I still think they'll turn it around. They just got to get healthy, man.
Honestly, Ken, I think it's a wrap for
them.
I'm done
with them.
It's because the injury, everything is starting to catch up. The stories, the no practices, the Carson Wentz not checking down, always trying to hit the big play. All of that stuff is catching
up. He's always been that guy, though.
He always has been. But, again, progression.
That criticism always. I'll give them 2 more weeks before I make a decision on that one.
Yeah, because it's the NFC. It's the NFC East. So, and the Cowboys only got one game up on them right now.
True, but the Cowboys are in better position to literally run away with the division.
They have a better overall roster than
they have a better overall roster, and they have stuff that can travel. The run game travels. Doesn't matter if it's cold or hot. You got Ezekiel Elliott back there. You got the O-line that's been dinged up, hopefully by playoff time. And, you know, when the games count even more, that O-line will be intact. They just have more. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? They're more on the train track than Philly is right now.
Yeah, and with that being said, are the Cowboys back on track?
No.
I think they took the right turn.
Because this is what happened last year, right? When they played Philly at home. They got after that game. That's when everything kind of fit. They went on that run.
Their ETA is still minus 15 minutes.
I think because of what Doug Peterson said, I just think they were extra motivated last night. There's no way they're going to let a Philly come in and whoop their ass after the coach said, we're going to go to Philly and win. He said that Sunday after they took an L, I think. What the fuck are you? And you coming to Dallas to win? Get the fuck out of here. I knew that when I saw 37-10, I already knew what was up, and they were talking shit.
They was harassing the whole squad. DeMarcus Lawrence, that seemed like off rip. He got a strip fumble. So, I haven't seen Carson make that many mistakes in a long time.
Yeah, so I think that's what that game was. So I'll wait to see what happens next week.
All right, shoot. That's all I got for the recap. I don't know. Y'all want to talk about anything else going on in the league?
You want to say anything about Zion?
What, something new happened? Or
did you say anything about the injury? Did you comment on that?
Did we talk about that?
No, did you know about – did you post that or did someone else post that in the chat as far as him out being – he had knee surgery. And he's out 6 to 8 weeks.
You didn't know that?
I didn't know he had surgery.
Yeah. Well, they call it a procedure, but if you out 6 to 8 weeks, you had a surgery.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's out 6 to 8 weeks. So he if it's 6 weeks, he's going to miss 20 games. If it's 8, he can miss up to 30.
There goes their postseason run.
Yep.
They're out of playoff contention.
It's sad, just man. Like I wanted to see the guy play. I know we will see him play.
Yeah.
People saying, is this Greg Oden?
Too early.
Yeah, that's too
early. It is definitely too early.
And
but
Greg Oden is way different because he was just like.
But he built different too. And that walk. That man, he walk with a waddle.
He do, Ken.
He walk with a waddle.
He do.
I don't want to go Greg Oden yet. But, you know, it's not a good look, especially when it comes to those knees.
And he need to lose that weight. He eating too much duck sauce. He started walking like one.
You know, so
you can't talk about Zion without mentioning that weight.
Now, here's the thing. Like, I saw some pictures of him at Duke versus his first games with New Orleans. And he was a little bit slimmer. Like, you could tell he was more in shape at Duke than he is right now. So I definitely think that played a little bit into
it. Is it because of the injuries and him being out and not being, like...
I don't know. Honestly, I can't say what it is. I just know what I see. And what my eyes are telling me is that he needs to get in better shape. And I don't think it... Again, I think God made him that way. So, people say he needs to lose 30 pounds. He won't be who he was. Remember that 1 year LeBron came back? And he looked like a shell of himself. LeBron couldn't get up off the ground. He had no power. He couldn't even dunk. You know what I'm saying? Until LeBron said, hey, let me get them carbs back. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and he went on that diet that Ray Allen had.
Yeah, that peanut oil diet.
Yeah, like man. That, yeah. He came
him
back
and Melo did that. And they was like, lost like half their
mind. It's unfortunate, man, because he was one of the – things that we were looking forward to this NBA season, Zion playing.
And the first game of the season. Literally the first game of the season is him versus Toronto.
Now we got to watch RJ Barrett.
100%.
Chill out.
So now my question is more so this. Can he still win Rookie of the Year? Like Rookie of the Year is going to be wide open now.
It depends on what RJ does.
And Morant.
Morant ain't doing nothing.
Nah, he ain't going to be
Rookie of the Year. We always say Rookie of the Year can still be – it's not always a – open shut case as far as first overall pick.
And I'm not saying that, but I think that Zion was that much above everybody else in terms of impact on their team.
I agree.
Right? With Ja Morant, he's going to have impact, but the numbers aren't going to show it. I think Ja's going to have an amazing rookie year, but I don't think that it's even going to be as good as Trae Young's was.
That's me.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think he's going to get the assist numbers because I don't think that they have enough finishers on that team yet. He's a reluctant. He's CP. Can he go out there and score 50 tonight? Yeah, he can. But he'd rather go get 15 assists. And I think there's going to be games where he has 8 points, 15 assists, 3 steals.
Yeah.
You know, so I just don't know if the numbers are going to be able to back up the case.
He doesn't have the, and plus he doesn't have the storyline that Zion has. He doesn't. Narrative is everything when it comes to that.
Yeah.
And all people have talked about was Zion. Like, nobody's talking about RJ. Nobody's talking about John.
Don't say nobody's talking about RJ. People talking about RJ.
Who?
You?
People, RJ.
They're not talking about who. What other rookies are they talking about?
I think it's just
actively talking.
I think it's just Zion and RJ. Yeah. RJ. I think they're Morant is the forgotten. RJ, he's the forgotten rookie.
I'm telling you, he's going to win Rookie of the Year.
You gonna talk about that Boston kid?
No, not no. Carson Edwards. And no. I like him. He's
but, oh, he's an X-Factor. Did you mention him to me?
Bobo?
Don't say Hunter.
No,
I knew he was gonna say Hunter.
DeAndre Hunter. You know why? Because I see him on this roster, he's going to get 14 and 16 points.
Nobody talking about his ass either.
And nobody talking about him. But I think they will talk about him because I think that the Hawks, remember, you picked them to be in the playoffs.
I
picked them to be in the playoffs. I think DeAndre Hunter is going to have moments in this year where he's going to shut down a PG or a Kawhi or a LeBron.
You heard what Trae Young said?
Nah.
He was like, the Hawks is going to shock a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I didn't see that. But, yeah, no, I agree with him. I'm telling you, look, DeAndre Hunter is going to raise some eyebrows this year.
It's possible. I mean, there's a story there, national champion. You come to the team. They become a playoff team with you. I could see NBA writers and media latching onto that. That would be a good story to tell.
But that's if everything goes right, though.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like with Zion, it just writes itself.
But here's the thing, though. Like I think the Hawks have so many ways to be right that even if one thing goes wrong, they're still on track. Just think about how much wing talent they have and how deep they are there, right? If Huerter gets hurt, that's fine. Cam Reddish get hurt, that's fine. The only person that really can't get hurt is Trey. Trey is the most important part of that whole thing.
DeAndre, he's going to need some moments, though.
Yeah, I think that
he got to dunk on a couple people at least.
I think he's really going to get it on the defensive end, man. I'm telling you, I think he's going to have moments where he's going to get a
defense. Don't get you Rookie of the Year though.
But I think he's going to have enough offense,
right?
Because again, what did I say? Trae Young's best quality is
passing. I think. If that storyline shapes up, I could definitely see that. If it doesn't, the only other person, depending on Zion's health,
it gotta be RJ.
Would be RJ, but he got a ball the fuck
because he
out,
got the biggest spotlight. He's in the biggest
but
city.
They gotta win though.
No, they do gotta win.
They gotta win more than they lost than last year.
Exactly. They gotta get closer to 500.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he has to be 20 plus points.
Yep.
I won't even say that. I think he needs to have more all around because he's an all around guy. He needs to have average between 16 and 19. Have at least
got to be close to 20.
Because think about it.
For the writers to care.
And, exactly. Yeah.
I think the assists will make the writers care.
They don't care about
if
that.
If he gets between 5 to 8 assists a game.
That'll
contribute to it, but the points is what
exactly
they look
at. Because here's the thing. Julius Randle is their number one option.
Yes.
Right. And we saw what he was 20-point scorer last year. Mm-hmm. I think that he does the same thing, especially now with even more opportunity. Mm-hmm. RJ needs to be that second scoring punch, if not the scoring punch on most nights. That is how RJ wins the
and they'll green year. They'll give him the green light for
well,
it.
Of course
too.
He's gonna have the
I think he already got it.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Like
he has the green light, but I question RJ Barrett's shooting. You know, obviously, from a field goal percentage perspective, Zion shot better than RJ, but we know why. Mm-hmm. Do you know that Zion shot better from three as well?
That's the thing about RJ.
34% for Zion, 31% for RJ.
RJ's efficiency is not that great.
Exactly. It's not that great. So to me, because of that, I think that in big moments, you're going to see the want to Like
I like that mentality though.
The mentality is there, and we've seen it even in Duke.
Yeah.
But he is going to have to learn how to scale that back for it to fit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because he's going to have blunders and big moments, that that's going to hurt him in terms of his storyline.
Last thing, let's hit some of the contracts, and then we'll get out of here. You hear about Jaylen?
Yeah, he got 115.
4-year
Jaylen Brown
extension.
Celtics.
They're trading him.
No, they're not. What? I don't know why you why are you so sour on Jaylen Brown?
This I'm not sour. I like Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, this is new to me. Go ahead.
Why? Ken.
He said this last yesterday.
Why, I must
Kemba.
Why extend him to trade him?
Kemba.
There's a poison pill in the contract, I think.
Is there?
Yeah,
somebody will pick it up. But look, okay. Right now you're paying Kemba,
mm-hmm.
right? You're also paying now Jaylen Brown, right?
Which you didn't have to, but go ahead.
I feel you. But let me ask you, if you trade somebody on a rookie deal, what are you getting back? Peanuts. Because a rookie deal is $3 million a year.
Okay.
But you sign them to a max contract, what do you fetch back? Think about KD, D'Angelo Russell. If D'Angelo Russell was on a rookie contract, that would have never worked.
I gotcha.
Right now, you're paying Kemba Walker. You're paying Gordon Hayward. You're going to pay Jaylen Brown. And you already
but
know.
But those are the only two big contracts you got on a team.
But they're going to pay who? He's coming up.
He's coming up, but
Jason Tatum.
Not anytime soon.
What do you mean? It's a year after. It's a year after. They're not paying four guys max contracts.
Nah, this is his third year, right?
Yeah.
So why
he's gonna re-up next year.
So why wouldn't they trade Hayward?
Who wants Hayward?
People
trades
take,
are two sides.
People will take Hayward.
No. Nick, trades are two sides.
I get you.
The only way.
But his contract right now is not that bad.
That's the only reason I say he could trade. And I'm not saying that it is. But what I'm saying is who wants Gordon Hayward with a question mark?
Right. He would have to play really, like he got to go back to Utah, Gordon Hayward.
That's the only way you'll be able to move him.
If he doesn't do that, then Jaylen Brown is the most tradable asset that they have.
Because you're not paying four guys.
I got you now. That makes sense.
That's all I'm saying. I love Jaylen Brown. I still don't think that he's played up to his ceiling
his
expectation.
He's still getting better.
He's still getting better. He's still in this 3-5 window. But again, you're not paying four guys. And I know they're – if they had to pick between Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, who you picking?
Obviously, we know that.
Yeah. Sabonis got an extension for $77 million.
How many years? Three?
I think it's about 3 or 4. Yeah.
That's a good deal for him.
And I think the one that we talked about yesterday was
Pascal.
Buddy. Pascal. Oh, we didn't talk about Pascal.
We kind of did a little bit. We knew it had to happen.
But for those of you that listen to the NBA preview, we want to acknowledge that Buddy Hield got his contract. So that's all.
86 mil,
yeah,
right?
86 with he can
three
easy to reach incentives to make it 94, and harder to reach incentives to get it up to 106.
You know he.
And I think it's four. It's four.
And how many years he been in the league now? 3 or 4.
Yeah, probably about.
He's made more 3-pointers in his first 4 years of his career than Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Ray Allen.
And when you look at his percentages,
it's stupid.
They're off the chart.
He only struggled that
it
rookie
must be because
year.
He's in Sacramento.
That rookie year was
year he struggled, but after that he figured it out.
Yep.
And people don't like if you get traded as a rookie, then that says something. I mean, not a rookie, but on your rookie deal.
Yeah. It happens.
But he has a no. Ben Simmons got the poison pill. That's what I was telling you. In his deal. But, yeah, Pascal Siakam.
Yeah, 3-year, $144 million. That's a lot.
I thought it was a 4-year, 130.
130,
yeah.
My bad, Pascal. I was trying to give you more bread. Should have gave it to you.
And it's in Toronto and in Canada, too. They be taxing like
motherfuckers. Oh, yeah, they be taxing like
mud. Why you think?
Now we
got
to see.
Kawhi got his ass up out of there, boy.
If he going to be the man now, because, you up, he up.
But you know, it's interesting, right? Like, at the end of the preview show, we talked about the 8 teams that we thought were going to make the playoffs. I kept Toronto out of there. And for a couple of reasons. Nothing due to Pascal. I think Pascal is going to get 18 to 22 points a game now, especially with so much more opportunity. He is lengthy. He is a legitimate four-man size, but with a three-man's game.
Yeah.
Right? Kyle Lowry is going to be gone. He's going to get traded. He's not going to make it to the trade deadline. He's going to be another person that's going to be on the move. I don't see this team having enough firepower to get over the hump and make a playoff push. I just don't see it.
Don't either after I looked at it a little bit closer today.
I like their team still.
If I had Toronto in, it's and I know East. I said I wanted to modify it, I will take them out and put in Detroit.
It's the East. Come on, man.
I think I like the coach, Dwayne Casey in Detroit. I know Nick Nurse can coach. Dwayne Casey has more to work with.
Yep.
And losing Kawhi was big. And if Lowry is gone, it's going to be even huger.
Yep. Yep.
So, yeah.
Because obviously Van Vliet steps into the Kyle Lowry spot. You know, OG now plays the three. I start Pascal at the four. Who's your two? Because you don't got Danny Green anymore.
Right.
You know, and Van Vliet played a small ball, too, with Kyle Lowry. They don't have enough.
Yeah.
They just don't have enough. And I think I need to look at their first-round picks to see, you know, what type of draft capital they have.
Chris Boucher, but I don't think – I think he's buried on the depth chart because of the front court, so he won't be able to get in.
Yeah, but I need to see the moves that Masai Ujiri made to see what future draft assets they have.
Oh, okay, that's what you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, because if they don't make the playoffs, that's a good thing for Toronto, right? Because you already have your established player. We know how we want to build our team, and oftentimes with a rebuilding team, you don't have that first piece, and they have that, and they have even more pieces. Again, Fred VanVleet is a piece, so is OG Anunoby. They're pieces, but they need more talent. They need another guy, and they don't have that. So
we got a Canadian in the chat. All he said was, man, Shark Canada is the username. Sorry, bro. But
The Toronto, they still playing playoff basketball in my mind. Like, I think they at least can be an 8 seed. At worst case scenario.
They talking shit, too. They say everybody forgot about us or something like that.
Yeah.
Here, and this is on the court.
Because they lost the King of the North.
Question mark. That's funny. the biggest question mark I have on the court is this. How does Pascal deal with double teams?
Yep.
Because it's easier to play off of Kawhi. It's easy to get 30, easier to get 30 points in the final series when you got Kawhi over there.
When
but
the
now
man.
It's you.
You're the man.
And they bring in 2-3 guys at you. You know what I'm saying? How does he handle that? I don't know. I don't know if his skill set lends for, like, I don't know if he's realistically a playmaker.
Yep.
Can you accept the double team and make the right play consistently?
Well, the first thing he needs to do is to get a new nickname.
What's his nickname?
Spicy P.
Hell no. You trying to be a porn star.
I don't know what the hell that is.
All right, man. We're going to leave it right there.
Shout out to the UK fans. We got some people across the pond. It's fucking with us, too. They talking about. I think I saw some YouTube comments.
And I'm going to address some comments about China. We got to get out of here. It's late. But I got y'all next week, though. Y'all were talking mad cash about me and my China comments. But I'm going to respond to you in Reddit, and then I'm going to verbalize what I – because, I was thinking about it today. I got fire. So I'm coming. I'm coming for all y'all that disagree with me, too. So, but we're going to get out of here right now, and that's going to do it for us. We'll catch you guys next time. We out. Peace.
Peace.